Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
I mean the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two beaks geek out with two beaks. Two beaks, two geeks geek out with beer.
Mine.
I'm Tim.
I'm Frank.
And today, we are back on the Star Wars track.
That is right.
That's right.
And back on track.
That is probably the last rhyme I'll do this night.
Oh,
fine. No, there'll be more. And so we are back, ready to watch Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Closing out the prequel trilogy.
Yes, to everyone's clapping. Not mine, though. I like the prequel trilogy. We've talked about this before.
But I am looking forward to getting into the original trilogy. You know,
yeah, I am too. I've actually been really itching to watch Empire Strikes Back for a while, but I'm holding out, which might pertain to a couple of months at this point. So really? Maybe I shouldn't hold out.
I did watch it on May the 4th.
Oh, good for you.
Couldn't help myself.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I don't think I did anything Star Wars-y on May the 4th. I had a couple of people wish me
happy
Star Wars Day. And so, but that's okay. But our beer of choice for tonight is, I was going to say our beer of choice is Frank, but that's not true. It's frankly, Frank is going to tell us.
It's Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy, the pride of Chippewa Falls.
Yeah. It's delicious because it's almost summer now.
It's true.
Yeah.
We can drink the summer beers. We've been drinking the Sam Summer. I've been having the Sam Porch Rocker and a few shandies here and there.
It's true. Yeah. I actually went out with a couple people after work today. Got some Sam Summers. It was
a good
time. Yeah, it was.
Awesome.
It was. Everybody was happy except for one person who got water.
Womp, womp.
Womp.
Sad story.
Yep. Just so you're all aware, before we get going, you can follow us on Twitter at Beer with Geeks. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/beerwithgeeks. You can email us what you think about Revenge of the Sith at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. And of course, you can like us and rate us and review us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Very true.
Yes.
All of these things are true.
All these things are true. You know what else is true?
Our fandom for Star Wars?
Yes, I was going to say Ewan McGregor's beard is fierce
in
this movie.
That is true.
He is a good look. He is a good Obi look. But what I was also going to say is that we're watching the newly released digital copy of Revenge of the Sith.
That's
we want to see what's a little different about it. Though it's also going to be on mute for us, so I don't know how much we're going to be able to tell what
that's
is different.
That's probably true, but we should tell, that's actually a good way of starting. We should tell the audience. So if you are watching the digital copies like we are, these brand new editions that just came out, good for you. You can join along with us and it'll be pretty easy. However, if you're watching one of the older, you know, either the Blu-ray or the DVDs or whatever you're watching, maybe it polished off your Laserdisc. If you're watching anything prior to the digital copies,
it's a very long polishing job.
It is,
a very big disc.
You're going to want to start the movie and get right up to where the Lucasfilm logo comes up, like right when it starts, and hit pause immediately. Because that's where we are. The new versions don't have the 20th Century Fox fanfare, sadly.
Actually, one out of the six does.
A New Hope does.
A New Hope does,
because it's still owned by 20th Century Fox in perpetuity. They have the rights.
Really?
Yes. But the other five.
I was wondering why that was.
Because that was,
because that was the only, that's the only digital copy I've watched so far, is A New Hope.
Yeah, that one has them.
Yeah.
But the other five movies don't have it. So if you're watching anything but the digital versions, please just work your way through that 20th Century Fox fanfare, take it in, breathe it in, and then as soon as you see the Lucasfilm logo, I guess actually it's the music is still playing at that point, but as soon as you see the Lucasfilm logo come up on the screen, hit pause immediately. So, gonna assume you've done that. You know, this is a podcast, you can pause it and do that, whatever. So, we're gonna get ready to hit play right now.
Yes.
Countdown, maybe 3, 2, 1, play.
Countdown 3-2-1 play? Yeah, just like the Death Star counting down.
That's exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Countdown initiated. 3-2-1 initiated. Hey,
oh,
look,
there goes
I forgot
Aria.
To mute it. Hey.
All good.
Well, we listened to this. Well, let's talk about this new digital release thing. Yeah. I like the music that they've chosen.
I do too. It's the very, very end of the Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, it's a little bit edited.
A little bit edited. Yeah,
it's a little bit of editing done, but I like it.
Me too.
I like that it's Star Wars music.
Yes.
I like that it's not the Disney castle.
I like that it's not just like silent. I like that.
That
it's,
would be awful.
Yeah
just like dead silence before Star Wars. Yeah.
Although it would kind of get you in the mood, just like all the dead silence and then suddenly the
anticipation. Yes, that's true, but I feel like that's what In a Galaxy Far, Far Away
that's true.
For.
They never does that, yeah.
And so, okay, even when I saw this in the theater, and we're positive here,
yeah.
But I will say, war was never something that sat well with me.
Oh, really?
No. Huh. For some... It's very Flash Gordon-y.
It is, which is why it actually I'm okay with it because it feels appropriate.
I agree, and but when I first saw this came out in 2005.
That's right.
I was
10 years ago this month.
Yes. Actually, fun fact: our original date to do this was accidentally on the release, the 10-year anniversary of the release date for this.
That's right.
And I forgot my charger at work, so the computer was dead. So there was no recording. So Frank and I hung out instead, and we recorded another episode of Beer with Geeks, which you can check out. And by say Beer with Geeks, I mean Supergirl.
We recorded
TV
Supergirl
Talk.
TV Talk that day.
I am losing it already. Okay. Yeah.
Do you feel like, so the war thing aside, do you feel like
this look purple anyway? So, what?
Yeah. How do you feel about this opening sequence?
I really like this sequence. It, when I was 10 years ago, blew me away.
Yeah.
Look how good that still looks.
Oh yeah. No, it looks great. It looks
still
great.
Looks so good. Actually, mm-hmm. Wired just did a great spread about Industrial Light and Magic.
Oh.
And you can see their cover spread is all the people that have used it and then all the famous characters that have come from it over the course of the years. Iron Man, Hulk, Yoda, the T-1000.
Yep.
Yeah, like it's a really cool cover.
The dinosaurs
Jurassic Park, there. Yeah. You see all these great designs and characters with all these spectacular directors and
super
artists
cool.
And yeah, it was excellent spread. But I really I dug this because I mean, star battles they're not actually my favorite part of Star Wars, but they are an essential part of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And so it's nice that you're brought into it right at the beginning, because really this is the only star battle in the movie.
That's pretty true. It's really the only thing we see.
It's the only one in space.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like A New Hope, where you're like dropped right into the action in space. Because if you think about you're not in Phantom Menace, you're really not in Attack of the Clones. This is kind of a slow build to the explosion.
Yep.
And then Empire and Jedi, it's slow like scanning and this or like arrivals of Darth Vader. But A New Hope and Revenge are really only two that are like boom action in space right away. Yeah.
They drop. That's true. And what I always find interesting in particular in this film, I think, is because it feels very much like a Flash Gordon or like one of those serials, because it's like those would always end with a cliffhanger and be like, come back next week to find out what happens to Flash Gordon and his friends.
Right.
And this is like, it feels like we're picking up a cliffhanger from a previous episode that we haven't seen, you know?
Yes, you're absolutely right.
You're starting mid-action. Same with, like, Indiana Jones.
Yeah, or those are always seasons of Clone Wars.
Yeah, really. Like, it always starts with, you know,
It's true. Indiana Jones was very much that way.
The end of the previous adventure before we start the new adventure, you know?
That's right, yeah.
James Bond movies, too, actually.
It's like always a cold open.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron just did that, too.
That's true. It's a cold open,
like, right into the, like, you just know that they were doing a lot of other stuff before you get to that moment.
And they kind of started on Hoth.
They did kind
of
start on
Age of Ultron.
It was like wintry Endor.
That winter soldier.
A forest with snow.
It's that winter soldier just spreading his winter everywhere.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
Because he's Mr. White Christmas. He's Mr. Snow. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
That's exactly what he does.
I would love to see a Sebastian Stan outtake of him singing that song as the winter soldier. I'd pay big money for that. Like, big money. I'd pay like $20 for a movie ticket to see a whole movie with that. Yeah.
Look at that. It's a TIE fighter. It's a TIE fighter.
I'll try spinning. That's a good trick. He's still doing it. He's still doing it. In a yellow ship, no less.
Wow. Yeah.
I know.
But seriously, these are like proto TIE fighters.
They're a little bit a TIE fighter, a little bit A Wing. It's got a little bit of both.
Yep.
And I like little buzz droids.
The buzz droids are pretty cool. Like, I don't know if it's, like, they'd used more of them in a way.
They are obviously rather dangerous if you get them on you and you're like, well, I'm screwed.
And then they just go away. Like, you don't see them before or after. Like, they're just like, yep, that technology doesn't exist anymore. Like,
that's true. Well, yeah, the Empire is a little more, oh, goodbye.
Yeah.
The Empire is really more interested in bulk rather than quality.
Yeah, I guess that's...
Yeah. And so, but that's okay, because that's ultimately their downfall.
Your faith in your friends is yours.
Yeah, except that he was dead wrong.
Well...
Dead. D-E-D. Dead.
Yeah, his overconfidence was his weakness.
Yeah. It was. It really was.
Yeah, it was.
Luke nailed it. I do like this whole, like, Obi-Wan doesn't like to fly thing.
Yes.
Just adds just a little bit to his character.
Yes.
And it's a nice little continuation from the previous film.
I agree.
Looks good. See, their cockpits are clearly real. Like, they built those.
Oh, yeah. No,
he's not sitting
practical.
In a nothing. Yeah.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of practical in this
film. No, there definitely is practical.
Those droids are clearly practical.
Okay, I don't know about
that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. But yeah, it is. It actually is, at points, it's hard to tell what's real. Like, is R2 real here or is he CG? I don't really know. I think he might actually be practical and the buzz droids might be CG, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
It's honestly hard to tell. But yeah, I think that these movies are, you know, everyone just assumes that everything is CG, and there are plenty of practical effects in these films, but
there's less so as you get through the prequels.
I agree with that.
There's just less of them.
I agree with that. I also think that there is the CG is more prominent. There's a lot more use of like CG characters and everything because there's aliens and there's this and there's
that's
that.
Right. Doesn't like also there's really nothing wrong with that either.
Not on the surface.
But
not
this was at an era in which. We thought that it looked real, but it didn't.
Yes.
And I think, we thought we could do it, and we weren't quite there yet. And, I mean, like, we could look back at effects today. I mean, we thought that even with Gollum in Lord of the Rings, and you look at Gollum today, and he still looked quite real in a lot of scenes, but there are other times where, like, you are clearly a mo-capped character.
Yeah. I think in the... late 90s, early 2000s, there was a feeling that, you know, we were getting really close to this, you know, inability to tell digital characters apart from real ones or practical ones or effects, whatever. There was a feeling that it was possible and within our reach to have a virtual world that looks indistinguishable from reality. And I think what we've come to, you know, realize is that it might be possible. But we're not quite there yet, and honestly, I'm personally not sure that I do believe it's possible. I think that we might
I think your eye is always going to be able to tell the difference.
There's, I mean, at least for a long time, there's always going to be like the and we've gotten way closer. You know, like
that's true
over the years, but there
are some things that you go. Oh, yeah, that's CG. And then you, like, look at behind the scenes, and you're like, that was actually all real, yeah. And now I'm confused about life.
So there are things you can make, you know, look very, very real, but...
But I don't think I'm ever going to say, like, look at a destroyer droid right here and say they built those.
Right.
But I mean, BB-8 is a perfect example of that. Everyone's like, oh, what a CG droid. And then they rolled him out on screen, and then it was like, it was real.
It was real.
You couldn't tell.
Right.
And I think... Yeah, I think that's a prime example. Like, R2's real right there.
Yeah, R2 is, I think, was real. Right there,
that elevator was not, though.
No, the elevator's not.
And the inside of the elevator isn't either.
I don't think it is. Yeah, I think
and
you're right.
It's stuff like that. I'm like, you couldn't
spend
$200 to build the sides of elevator.
And it's also, like, distracting now, looking back on it. It's like, oh, all I see is that the background of that elevator is not real. Like, that's all I see.
That's right. Or R2 backing up into those canisters, or those canisters aren't real. Right. And, like, it's like stuff
so
like
much
that.
Of what we're looking at right now is not real.
Yeah.
And you can tell from the movement. You can tell from a lot of things. Like, they're on a green screen here.
They're not casting a shadow where they should be.
They're not. Well, and like
a shadow. But you know what I mean, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, Obi-Wan's clothes has, like, soft edges to it instead of, like, there's just, you know, you can tell it's not entirely real. And at the time, it wasn't as distracting as it is now. But, you know, 10 years on, literally 10 years on, you start to notice, and then you stop paying attention to what you're supposed to be paying attention to.
Do you ever think that they'll get to a point in which they will, just because it's all digital, they will just at one point go through these films and redo
if it was up to Lucas.
All the it's not anymore.
Yeah, but if it was, I think they would. Now, I don't, maybe.
That'd be an expensive job. That's a lot of enhancements.
It's a big job.
They would never really make their money back on that. But if it came to a point in which it became cheap, you could go through and redo all these digital scenes because they're green screened. And so you could take the original footage and.
Well, that's an even bigger undertaking. Yeah. Going back to the source footage. But, you know. Here's my question. Other than the special editions of the original trilogy, right? So Star Wars aside, is there really any other franchise you can think of where they've updated the effects? Like, you know, other than like putting out a remastered version of the original print and stuff like that, do you ever really see like, oh, we went back in and redid all the effects in this movie? I can't think of, other than Star Wars, I can't think of an instance where that's been done.
I want to say that there was one, and now... But I'm like thinking, and I can't think of one.
Email us, beerwithgeeks@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know. Tweet at us something. Because now it's like now it's somewhere in my brain thinking that somebody else has done it in the past.
I mean, it might have been done, but it's not a common occurrence, right? Usually you get a re-release of a movie, and, you know, like they didn't redo the effects in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, that. Or something
right,
like that.
When all of those were released.
They re-released it on Blu-ray, and it looks great. It's an updated version, but it's the same movie. It's not redone.
Right.
It's just a cleaned-up version of the movie we know.
Well, I think a lot of people realize those are products of their time, and you take them as products of your time, but whereas they want Star Wars to continue onward the way that it is, you almost have to make them go beyond products of their time. Timing and stuff like that is sometimes products of the time, but the effects they want to be timeless.
Well, your original question was, will they do that? I don't know. I'm skeptical they will continue to do that, because I do get the feeling that Disney came into Star Wars with the idea of preserving, and with the idea of, like, okay, fans clearly don't like the changes that have been made, and they don't like the tone of the prequels. They've de-emphasized the prequels very much.
Yes and no. I'm going to say older fans have de-emphasized them.
I'm saying Disney has.
Yes, you're right. But I say, like, I've been old liking them, not de-emphasizing them. Sorry. I misspoke. I got distracted by this amazing fight scene. I do like this Dooku fight.
Yeah,
I think this one is actually more exciting, even without knowing the outcome originally when I first saw the movie. This scene, also, Obi doesn't have hips anymore.
Yeah, there's no way that Obi-Wan should have legs.
Yeah, no, not after that. But I found this scene far more exciting than the fight in Episode 2.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. I find this a lot more. Exciting. The stakes are higher, and, you know, because it's like the Emperor is like literally in the room.
Sitting in a chair, not unlike the chair he sits in.
Yes.
In Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Yep. And
hands.
You have no hands anymore.
Sowie, boo.
Sowie. Good, Anakin. Good.
Kill him.
What?
The look on Dooku's face.
No, you didn't see that. You didn't see that coming.
You were saying you think older fans.
Older fans de-emphasize the sequel, the prequels, but younger fans grew up with them in the same fashion.
Yeah.
Some of them, this is Star Wars. This is what they think of, not the original trilogy.
Right.
Not to de-emphasize Luke, Leia, and Han or anything like that, but. Sometimes to them, Anakin is their hero. Obi-Wan is their favorite character, blah, blah, blah. It's not Luke and blah, blah, blah. It's not that boring movie with the puppet Yoda, blah, blah, blah. And that hurts to say.
I've never met a kid who says that, though.
I have.
Really?
I have.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I know kids who grew up on Clone Wars, and to them, Anakin is their guy.
That part, yes, but I've never met kids who think that the original trilogy are boring and you know, Puppet Yoda and all that stuff.
I've never heard anybody say Puppet Yoda or anything like that, but...
But, like, boring original trilogy?
But, yeah, that? They're like, oh, no, I don't like that one. It's the nothing happens, blah, blah,
That's
blah.
That's interesting. I have heard... I mean, I do know of kids who like the prequels and, like, you know, the Clone Wars, so and like, Anakin's their hero because they grew up watching Clone Wars. Like, that, right. That I have heard, yeah. But yeah. That's interesting. I don't know anyone who doesn't like, you know...
It's not that they don't like them, but it's just...
They prefer the prequels.
They prefer the prequels. Yeah. Just because, when you're a kid and you're looking at it just from like a action point of view, yes, or exciting factor, mm-hmm, or whatever else, even a colorful pop factor, these movies are a little bit more exciting.
They have, yeah. There's more action. There's more color. There's, yeah.
But that's the product of the time thing.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the story. Like what went for an action sequence in the 80s. Would never cut it in a movie today.
That's right, yeah.
Ever.
Well, maybe not, but it depends. I mean, you know.
No, think about the lightsaber battles from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And then, like, that of a fight like that, a sword fight, just a sword fight like that, yeah, in a movie would never pass today.
I agree and I disagree at the same time. Because I think, you know, if you watch a movie like Terminator, the original Terminator,
I don't think Terminator holds up the way
I know
that
you don't
think it
you're
does.
Not a big Terminator fan, I know.
But see, yeah, but I like the films, but I'm removed from it from like we're blinded by our fandom of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And so, but I don't have that from Terminator.
Right.
I don't think it holds up the way that.
Okay.
I think 2 holds up better than 1 does, I find 1 rather plodding, and that's just because of the time that it was filmed.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that the action sequences in that film, I think, are pretty intense.
In 1?
In the first one. There are very intense action sequences.
I'd have to go back. Yeah. I'd honestly have to go back and rewatch with that in mind.
Fair enough. But
I'm not saying these are bad action sequences.
I know
I'm
you're
just
not.
Saying
I know
that
you're
like
not.
You
know
don't see like... Like, if you looked at the fight scene in A New Hope,
yes,
between Vader and
Obi-Wan. Yeah, like, that's very, yeah, yeah. That's a low-key, even for Star Wars. Like, that's
right,
very low-key.
It's very low-key. And that's just how it is. Now, yes, that being said, like, I've seen some superior, like, sword fight sequences in, like Errol Flynn Robin Hood films,
sure,
and stuff like that. So it was out there.
Yeah.
And you just didn't see it in Star Wars. And most of that was because David Prowse couldn't move in Vader's suit.
Right.
It didn't have really anything to do with action sequences at the time. But I think, like, an action script in Hollywood today, you have to have an action sequence take place every 10 minutes.
It's true. I just want to say that Anakin and Obi-Wan are in the Phantom Zone right now. And they're...
Guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty. Apparently, this opening scene on the ship was like an hour and a half in the original cut.
I know.
It was a huge chunk of the movie.
I know.
Because this always feels like they broke the... It, like, almost broke the pace of the movie.
Yeah, it's... This is, like, a really long sequence.
It's a really long sequence. Yeah.
It kind of feels like, you know, like the pod race in Episode 1, where it's just like, why? This is really long.
It's true. Although, I think this is a little bit superior in...
This is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. But it does feel a similar sort of, like, ooh, you really wanted this to be, like, most of the movie.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly. I mean, it's a good... Like I said, it's a good sequence.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing. Grievous. I have, like, they did a very poor job. And I will... There's not a lot I'll say, you know, not a whole lot of negativity I'm going to have, honestly. For this. Like, not a lot of real negativity, not a lot of real criticism. But they did a very poor job of introducing Grievous.
They did. He's kind of like, he's like a Vader, but not. Okay, bye.
But they didn't even give us that. Like, it was just like, he's here. You know him, don't you? And it's like, no, I don't. I don't know who this is. I don't know anything about this character. I didn't... Unless you watched that that Clone Wars micro series,
which was super cool.
Which you can't find anywhere now. It's out of print, and it's just totally. It's like
I have copies of it. If you want to watch,
I have it too.
Yeah, I have it too.
But it's the DVDs are gone. Like you can't find it anywhere. But it was like these little 5 minute episodes, literally like 5 minute episodes. They would show between shows on. I think it was Cartoon Network.
It was Cartoon Network.
Yeah, and it was
called, by the Samurai Jack guys.
Yeah, yeah. Genndy Tartakovsky, and. You know, it was very stylistic, and it was just these little 5 minute snippets, and it told kind of the story of what happens between episodes 2 and 3. This is before the Clone Wars, computer animated show came out,
mm-hmm.
And that was where Grievous made his debut. But it was like you just have no idea who he is or anything, and he's such a major part of this film, where like, Boba Fett was actually originally introduced in the Star Wars Holiday Special, and then he just kind of appears in Empire, but he's not as major part of the film, and he's, you get the idea of who he is. Okay, there's bounty hunters, he's one of them, got it. But here it's just sort of like this guy appears, and he's suddenly really important, and no one tells us who he is or what he is or, you know, is he an alien? Is he a robot? Is he an android? What is he? And no one really – is he a cyborg? Like, no one tells us any of that, and you have to figure it out for yourself. And it was very confusing the first time I was watching this film. I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to know who that is, but I don't.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with you. He never – It's the Boba Fett thing for me. Both have never really done anything for me.
I kind of agree in Boba Fett.
Oh, really? I don't think we've ever had this conversation before.
Yeah, I kind of think Boba Fett's a little overrated.
Yeah, he, all right. I'm going to say it.
Gauntlets are being thrown.
I'm going to say it. Okay. So, we'll take the most updated versions of the movie because he's arguably in it the most.
Yes.
Starting in the original trilogy.
Yep.
He looks around near Jabba.
Yep.
New Hope.
Yep.
Done.
Done. That's it.
He then, is told by Vader no disintegrations and says, as you wish, because he's also the Man in Black.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He, people say he's the first person to talk back to Vader. That is not true.
I don't think it is.
That is not true. It's the dude in A New Hope and go, she'll die before she tells you anything.
Oh, yeah.
Leave that to me. Yeah. That's the first person to talk back to Vader. And that dude lived.
What about the guy? What about, what was his name? The guy that Vader chokes at the like table.
That scene happens afterward.
In A New Hope.
Yeah. The she'll die before she tells you anything is the opening scene.
Sorry. For some reason I was placing that in the interrogation scene.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. You're right.
Okay. So he says, as you wish, and then he hangs out in some garbage and follows Han and calls the Empire and lets Vader capture them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he throws in a carbonite. He's like, he's no good to me. He will not be permanently damaged. Mm-hmm. And then
the Empire will compensate you all that.
Yep. Yeah. And then he takes away a floating block of Han.
Yeah.
And then Return of the Jedi. He stands around for a little while, raises his gun, but then puts it down. Doesn't fire anything.
Yep.
And then before he does anything super important, he wraps Luke in a rope. And then he falls and dies into the Sarlacc pit because he's hit by a blind man by accident.
Yeah.
The end of the most infamous and deadly bounty hunter in the galaxy.
I mean, okay, just looking at the movies, right? I agree. I don't think he is that fantastic a character. Everyone, there are people who really, really love him, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I just don't get it. I think that a lot of that, admiration for the character comes from expanded universe stuff.
Yep.
And I think that that's fine, but if you don't have the time to invest into the expanded universe as much, I feel like the movies should be a complete record of the story. Like, that is the true, like, the core of the canon, as far as I'm concerned. Not knocking the EU, not saying people shouldn't read it, not saying you shouldn't enjoy it.
No, I love the EU.
I've read probably six.
Yes, I would agree that in the EU, Boba Fett is a badass. But if I'm just looking at the films, he looks super cool.
He's a super cool
character. And he looks super deadly.
Yeah.
But it just never did anything for me. Now, that also being said, one of the only reasons I love Star Wars... No, I would say one of the only reasons. That's a bad way of putting it. I love Star Wars because of Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything else, to me, comes secondary.
Yeah.
Because Jedi are what make these stories a little unique.
Yes.
Now, you could talk about aliens and bounty hunters and the politics and this and that and the other thing until the cows come home.
Sure.
But you can get that in a lot of different stories, particularly sci-fi stories.
Right, right.
It's the Jedi that captured my imagination as a kid and continued to do so as an adult.
Yes.
With childlike tendencies. and so, yeah, so to me... those columns are super fake.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Smits is in this movie. Can we talk about how awesome that is?
It is pretty freaking
cool. It is pretty freaking great that he's in this movie. His clothes also look super comfy.
That's true.
There's something cozy about prequel Star Wars where their clothes just look insanely comfortable.
Not all of them.
Most
Amidala's,
of them. Yeah, hers
Padme's outfits never look.
That's true.
But... the big flowing robes and the giant shouldered things and everything just look very,
very,
very
comfy.
Comfortable. Yeah.
Very comfy. Although she's had, she's going to have some pretty comfy clothes coming up in there.
Oh, that's true. Later on.
Bedroom scene.
They know.
Hey. Except that bedroom scene where he has a nightmare and wakes up sweaty and then they talk for a while.
That's true.
Yeah.
I like her Leia hair.
I do like, actually, I think she wears it better than, Carrie Fisher.
You know, you might be right.
Yeah. Just because Carrie Fisher even says that her face is naturally round.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, you don't give a hair. She says that in Wishful Drinking.
Really? I haven't read that.
Oh, it's excellent. It's just that you don't give round hair, that you don't give a hairstyle that's going to make someone's face look round. Somebody's face is already round.
Yeah.
Where Natalie Portman does not have said face.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, I think the clothing does look very comfy. I never really thought about that much, but I think you're right. Ooh, the cat. We'll get to this a little bit more later, and we talked about it in the previous film, but the relationship between Anakin and Padme just gets increasingly annoying to me.
Really?
their interactions, their dialogue.
Here's what's interesting about their relationship. To me, it's kind of like Romeo and Juliet.
Except not.
No. Good. And this is why I'm going to lay down. I'm just going to say a lot of I'm just going to say a lot of blasphemy in this podcast.
Boba Fett, bad. Anakin.
Romeo and Juliet, bad.
Now let me
tell you why. The actual show, the play itself, is excellent. It is a superbly crass, unlike these words that I'm using.
Crass? It's very crass. Crass.
I was going to say craftful, but that's not what I wanted to say. Yes, well-crafted show. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This line ain't cool, I tell you.
it's all going
all
to your
one
head.
Quarter of it that I've had. Just as a pre-warning to anybody listening, my cat is currently playing with Frank's coaster, and I am giggling my way through
this
it.
This can only go well.
This is only going to go well.
Yeah.
And so, no, I dislike people saying that Romeo and Juliet is the greatest love story ever told, because it's not.
Okay,
it's about two teenaged idiots who think they fell in love.
It's true.
Like, because they met for 3 seconds at a party, spoke on a balcony, got married, had sex, and then committed suicide for one another while a bunch of people died. No, it is not the greatest love story ever told. Now, from that point of view, you could argue that it's because their death brought the families together and that created the love and blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
Nobody talks about it. It's a great love story that way. That being said, Anakin and Padme to me are like Romeo and Juliet in that fashion, where they are the star-crossed lovers. However, if Romeo and Juliet had survived, their marriage probably wouldn't have lasted very long. Because they would have come to determine they have literally nothing in common except this shared experience together for a, you know, them being a party and them being, you know, well, a lot, but still, you know, a lot of mayhem.
Yeah.
But
all right. I get that.
But it does like they're because he's always going off and they're always hiding in secret. There's always like this, almost like a fun factor to their relationship. Like, oh, nobody can know it's a secret. And, you know, like they're gone so long from one another because he's going off and being a Jedi. And
can I pause you for a second?
Yes.
This is the worst dialogue in the entire film right here. No, it's because I'm so in love with you.
I think.
No, it's because I'm so in love with you. But, no, you stop. You stop. But you stop.
But
you
that,
stop.
But that's proving my point. That's like, but that is like.
Yeah. No.
How Romeo and Juliet talk to one another. That is like that is their.
But they're 14.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
They're not having a child together.
Yeah. 14-year-olds can have children.
Okay.
Together.
But they didn't.
Yeah. But you know, but
he's a Jedi. She was a queen. Like there.
I know. Supposed to be. He's like 25 at this point. Yeah. But
anyway.
But to my point, that's got to be which super makes uncomfortable her, like, to sleep in. I'm just saying her beaded dress, like that can't be comfortable.
Anyway, sorry.
Her beaded nightie.
I just wanted to take you off the path because I needed to point out that terrible dialogue. That's my least favorite dialogue in the entire saga.
No, that's fine. Okay. But I'm please. I'm gonna continue.
Yes, please do. Please do.
This is a nice shot. George Lucas is his DP is excellent. Director of photography for people who are unfamiliar when I said DP.
I realize I don't know who DP'd Star Wars.
And so I always have a hard time telling how much of Natalie Portman's hair is real in these films and how much is it hair extensions.
Mm.
I just don't know. Which is good on you, makeup department.
Right.
But yeah, that's gotta be uncomfortable to sleep in.
Yeah.
It's pretty, but anyway, that's why I think that this works. Like, yes, he built it the wrong way. Like, it's supposed to be like they were supposed to be so in love and this and that, and that's what's tragic about it. But if you don't read it that way and you don't look at it and you look at it as the way that, like, they really aren't meant for each other the way that they think they are, then – it makes their story a little bit more interesting and their relationship and dialogue a lot more forgivable.
Yeah. I mean, I see that point of view. I don't know if I entirely agree with all parts of it, but I think that overall that you make some valid points.
Yeah.
I think overall it's an interesting line of thinking that I really hadn't given it that much thought from that point of view. So
yeah.
A bit more.
Yeah. Well, I've never really gone on my rant about Romeo and Juliet to you before. So.
No, yeah, I haven't heard that before.
Stupid. Yeah, it's just not the greatest love story ever told.
I've heard that point of view before. I'll agree with you. It's not the greatest love, story ever told, but in many ways, I mean, it is considered like the quintessential love story.
Yes, it's not.
That's like the love story of record. It's, you know, but I agree. It's not something we should be like holding up as like.
Standard.
Yeah. Is it well told? Is it well written? Yes. But is the story itself, are the events that happen in the story, is that what you want, like, your, you know, romance to be like? No, you don't want it to end that way. You don't want it to go that way. Like, but is it well told and well written? That's what I'm going to say. I think it is. I mean, it's, you know, it's a well constructed story that I quite enjoy.
Yes.
I quite enjoy.
Yes, but if I quite enjoy it too, because I don't look at it the perspective of, you know, the greatest love story ever told.
Yes.
That's why I can enjoy it. Did you find out who the DP was?
Yes, it's David Tattersall, which I did know.
Oh, okay. I couldn't think of his name.
Yeah.
Well, David Tattersall did an excellent job with this scene as well.
He also did the cinematography for the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. P.S.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Something I've never seen.
Yeah, neither have I.
Yeah.
He won an Emmy for that. But
really?
Yeah.
Now I'm actually curious.
Mm-hmm.
That's a vein in Anakin's forehead like the likes of the universe has never seen before.
Is that a vein or a scar?
He did have a vein popping out for a second, but you were looking at your phone instead of watching the movie.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, he DP'd all of the...
prequels.
The prequels, yes. Yeah. As well as the 2013 version of Romeo and Juliet, oddly enough. Yep. And he's done some work on The Walking Dead as well.
Film. Oh, wow.
With Frank Darabont.
Wow, excellent. That film also has spectacular photography. Swipes. I love you.
Swipey swipes.
It's not Star Wars without swipes. It's Do you really think Force Awakens is going to have swipes?
Oh, it better.
I mean,
I think it will.
You know, it's one of those things that I might not notice if it doesn't while I'm watching the film, but when I walk away and someone points out to me and there was one, I will be mad.
Yeah.
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 I think there has to be swipes.
I ever liked the scene where he walks in because I always thought that meeting would be super interesting. and then he walks in at the end and I'm like, way to go.
Yeah, I wanted to see that.
Like, I know your meeting with Master Yoda was really meaningful, but I kind of wanted to see that meeting.
Guys, you made us sit through trade negotiations for two movies and you couldn't let us
see. You couldn't give me a Jedi meeting.
Come on.
I want to know how the war is going. Although Anakin also did just tell me how, and my Obi-Wan did just tell us how the war is going. Well,
he's telling us, not showing us.
Yeah, he spark noted that version of it.
Yeah, exactly. How do you feel about the
Lycra? I like it.
Yeah, speaking. I like a Lycra.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Anakin and Obi-Wan's relationship in this film?
I don't. When Obi-Wan screams, "You are my brother, Anakin," I'm like, "Were you?
Yeah.
Was he your brother?
He was like 10 years ago.
Was he? I don't get that. I'm not feeling it from this film.
I agree.
And so I just think that he wanted to, I think George Lucas had a grand vision of the prequels and didn't have enough movies to tell it in.
I think he gave himself, he didn't give himself enough runway.
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly
it's
right.
The first couple movies, he takes his time.
And then all of a sudden, episode three showed up, and he was like, oh, I have to put it all in here.
He had a lot to get to.
Yeah,
to get to
and
that
that's exactly how I feel. So, like, there are definitely hints at it.
Yes.
But you have to really, like, look for it.
Yeah. You kind of have to come into it as a willing, you know, you have to be willing to overlook a lot of things.
Yeah.
In order for it to really work. And the first time I saw this film, I saw it in theaters. I was willing to overlook a lot of things, and I think I just watched it and like took it at face value, and I was like, he was like his brother, like, oh my God, you know, like I was really, very much bought in.
Yeah.
But the more I've watched it over the, you know, the 10 years that have passed, and I've watched it a whole bunch, I have, you know, gradually seen more of the problems with it, but that doesn't take away from my enjoyment of it. I mean, this has been a theme of what we've said about the prequels all along, right? Is that we know there's problems with them at times, but we still enjoy them. We enjoy them immensely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in high school when this movie came out, and it was like the biggest freaking movie that I could imagine coming out. It was a huge deal. It was like, this is it. This is the last Star Wars movie. And I remember watching the 20th Century Fox fanfare come up and thinking to myself, like, okay, this is it. This is the last time we're going to see this on a new Star Wars movie. Like this is, and as it turned out, actually, I was right about that.
Right.
You were. That part. When the movie ended, I like sat through the credits. I was like, this is the last time I'm going to watch the credits on a new Star Wars movie. I was wrong about that part. But, yes, you know, still like it was a big occasion. So I was very much just like breathing it in and taking everything for what it was. And it, you know, as it turns out, maybe some of those things that Lucas is telling us and making us believe that you need to believe for this movie to all make sense and fit perfectly. You know, in retrospect, it doesn't all quite work because, yeah, they rushed some things and they, you know, they rushed the Anakin, Obi-Wan relationship. They rushed the Anakin, Palpatine relationship, in order to, you know, make everything, put all the characters where they needed to be by the end of the film.
Yeah, I agree. I want to go back and talk about the scene that just went by.
Yes.
I let you kind of breathe it all out. It was okay. But these two scenes are some of the best in the film because what the council does to Anakin is such a slap in the face.
It sucks.
And you really kind of, if you like Anakin already, you do kind of feel for him.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, it is kind of a slap in the face. Like, yeah, you can have a seat. kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's condescending.
Yeah.
It's, and it's like, only because he's making us.
Yeah, he's only because he's making us. And but Anakin literally is one of the best Jedi they have. Yes. Like he's not like a he's not the kid anymore who is like I have a lightsaber and he is winning this war for them.
Yes, he is though. Okay, he's one of the most powerful. He's like maybe the most powerful Jedi they have. Right.
Yes. Exactly.
Powerful Jedi was he.
Yep.
But he is impetuous and he's immature and he doesn't know how to control his anger.
And, yes, you
know,
and I agree with all that. And so for that decision, I agree that he shouldn't be made a master. And so for all that, but it, to me, it's kind of like it's got to be an all or nothing deal because it's this is like, only going to separate him further from the council.
True.
It's only going to hurt this relationship that
also,
is already kind of tenuous.
Their delivery, their attitude is sort of like, have a seat, you know, like,
yeah,
Mace shut up Windu, and take it, this,
yeah,
this or nothing.
Yeah, Mace Windu does not, and has never had love for Anakin.
No.
Really. And so, and even Obi-Wan, like, has, but, like, their first meeting, he was like, oh, look, another pathetic life form.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's that whole, that whole shtick.
And Mace Windu, like, does say later on in the movie, when Anakin comes to him and says, like, I think this is what's going on with Palpatine. He's like, okay, if this is true, you will have earned my trust. Like, you don't have my trust now.
Yeah.
But you'll earn it if this is true.
I've known you since you were 8.
Yeah.
It's been almost 20 years.
Yeah, I still don't trust you.
But I still don't trust you. Yeah. Like, what happened to you, Mace Windu?
Dude.
What happened to you? I mean, I know in the Marvel Universe you lost your eye, and that's why you have trust issues.
Yeah.
However, we're in the Star Wars universe now.
Of course, it's only a matter of time before they do a crossover between Marvel and Star Wars in the cinematic universe in some way. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, that'll never happen. I mean, I'll never say never, but...
Did you ever see the episode... You've watched all of Parks and Rec at this point?
I thought you were going to say Phineas and Ferb, and I was like, yes, I did watch that Marvel crossover with Phineas and Ferb.
Nope. Although I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I did not. I wasn't going there. Have you watched all of Parks and Recreation?
Yes, I have.
The episode where Patton Oswalt... filibusters.
So funny. It's so funny.
And he does a whole thing on how they're going to cross over Marvel and Star Wars.
Yeah. It is so funny.
Yeah.
Actually, I heard that years before I watched Parks and Rec. I didn't know what it was from.
I just
knew that it was a thing that existed.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. I don't know. Was she going swimming? Like, I don't like.
You're beginning to sound like a separatist.
It's such a weird swimming cap she has on. Jules' swimming cap.
She's, you know, just out of the shower. She was protecting her curly
extensions. Yeah. I always love these scenes of Coruscant. It is so pretty.
It is. It's, yeah, there's a lot going on in Coruscant, isn't there? But it's all like, it's all... like skyscrapers and like there's literally nothing but skyscrapers, which is kind of intense. I don't know. She's wearing Beats by Dre. I think that's what it is. She's wearing Beats by Dre and she's listening to some sick beats, some sick jams. And yeah, I don't know. I will say at night Coruscant is like super pretty, but again,
I want to live there.
But kind of
like, honestly, it looks like Shanghai.
Yeah. Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
Looks a lot like Shanghai. From experience.
Yep.
Which was gorgeous.
Yep.
I can testify. We missed our George Lucas cameo.
No, it's right there.
No, he was on the stairs, wasn't he?
No, that's him right there.
That's him?
In blue.
The blue?
Yeah.
I thought he was on the stairs. I thought he was walking up the stairs.
I think he might be there again later or something.
No, and we can't rewind because it's a commentary.
Him. Sorry.
There's me. Star Wars opera? I would watch this.
This is actually one of my favorite scenes.
Me too.
Especially after having read the
Star Wars Shakespeare.
No, this
book's not out yet. Never mind.
Especially after having read the Palpatine
Darth Plagueis
book.
Mm.
That is.
I just like that Ian McDiarmid can add layers of subtext into a script that. Had none.
Yeah. Yeah. Frankly.
Yeah.
Leave us. This. Yeah.
Anakin,
this scene.
Come watch these giant bubbles with me.
The first time I watched this, I did not actually, again, I was 15, 16, whatever. I didn't get the subtext. I didn't get what he was telling him.
Oh, really?
I didn't. But now it's so clear. It's so clear.
Because I was so much older than you and was able to figure it out.
Older and wiser.
Came out in 2005, so I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun fact, this is the last movie ever to be produced on VHS.
I did know that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last like new movie release on VHS.
Last
yeah.
new movie release on VHS.
Yeah.
I knew that because I worked at Blockbuster.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
It was the last big one. It was the last one we ever got. Mm-hmm. Because the last one ever produced.
That's it. That was the end of it. End of the line.
It was a high note to end on.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. So when he starts to go into. Have you ever heard the? He's not quite there yet.
Yeah, but he's pretty much right. He's at it.
Yeah. Yeah. They should do something to mention for this almost, didn't they?
Like, blah, 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 blah,
he is, yeah. you know, a master manipulator. Like, the fact that he has aligned all of these little events over however many decades with the intent of, you know, of getting, finding the right person to do his bidding. So that he can come to power in the way that he has in mind is just mind blowing, and it's a brilliant idea.
Oh my God! Like, is
to
it
have
ever.
This character?
It's not even just he's a master manipulator; he's a master improvisationalist.
Yes, he's unflappable. Like he comes these stumbling blocks.
This image
come
of
up,
the emperor like flapping his arms, like
like one of those.
No one else can make me do this, but me.
Like the big, like skinny noodle guy outside yeah, the car dealership. Like,
Whammy, you inflatable arm flaming emperor. Whammy, you inflatable arm flaming emperor. Yeah,
yeah. He is completely like he's unstoppable. He will find a way to get to where he needs to get, no matter what. No matter what, nothing stops him. And ultimately it's.
What do those buttons on the chairs do? So like Lux Loveline for Showcase Cinemas where you press the button for service, but a hologram comes up from your menu. It's going to be super distracting for the bubble show. Looks like sperm inside an egg.
All right. Well, you had to take it there.
It does. Tell me it doesn't.
It does. You're right.
Tell me.
It does.
Yeah. Or like streamers inside a bubble. Is that better?
That was better. Yeah. It looks like a lava lamp, too, kind of.
It does kind of look like a lava lamp. You're right. Right. That's funny because he's almost going to die in lava.
In lava.
Was not the intention. yeah, definitely was Hold not on. The intention.
Yeah.
From dying.
But the subtext of, you know, that he was able to create
Hayden
life.
The dark side of the force. Hayden Christensen becomes a better actor when he works with Ian McDiarmid.
I think everyone becomes a better actor That's around true. Ian McDiarmid. I think.
But I agree. But I think his scenes with Ian are some of his best in
absolutely.
The film. Yeah.
I also think that. I think in many cases. How do I say this? I think that a lot of what people perceive as Hayden Christensen's bad acting, maybe not all of it, I don't know, I haven't seen enough of his stuff outside of Star Wars to know, but I think that a lot of what people hate about him is actually George Lucas's directing.
You know, I agree with that because Natalie Portman is an Oscar-winning actress.
I think we talked about this in
episode two. Yeah, we've talked about this before, and she's no great shakes in this film in these films either. Yeah.
So much for faster and more intense, right? They're kind of like
faster, just, more intense. Faster. Who needs us faster?
They're both just kind intense. Of like, oh, look, we're on, look, it's Avatar.
Before Avatar.
I know.
This came first. Screw you, James Cameron. Yeah.
Oh, Kashyyyk.
Look, it's what Endor was supposed to be.
That's right. Yeah.
I've been there, actually. Fun fact, I had tripped China, and I've been to, you knew this already, but the listeners didn't. Yeah. I've been to, the part in China where that background is, where Kashyyyk is. Yes. I have vacationed there. It is so spectacular. Cool. And it was only till I didn't go there with that particular reason. I went there for other things. And when I got there, I was looking around, I'm like, oh my God, I know where I am. Like, I mean, Kashyyyk is amazing. And the person I was with did not care in any way. Bummer. I was literally alone in China, the only one caring about Star Wars
That's
at that
so
moment.
Sad.
Yeah. But it was super cool to be there.
Where was that?
God, I hate you for asking me that question. Yeah. I'd have to, honestly, I'd have to look it up. I've been to, excuse me, I have to put on my monocle and ascot, but I've been to so many places in China, I just can't tell you.
And you went in a pretty short period of time, so I can understand, like, losing track and not being sure.
Yeah, and because I've been twice, yeah. I've lost track of some of the names of the places that I've been to on one trip versus the other one, and I'd have to look them up. But that also happens when I've been to, like, people ask, like, oh, where have you been in Italy? And I can be like, oh, I've been to, you know, Rome and Florence. And then after that, I go, oh, and a bunch of other small towns.
Yeah, sure.
And I go,
do, like, you remember what this was nearest? Like, was it near, you know, relatively speaking, was it nearer one city
than another? Let me think about this. Okay, I took a lot of planes to a lot of places. Yeah. And I think I flew from Shanghai to here, and I think it was only about a 3-hour trip, but I mean, 3 hours on a plane can get you a lot of different places. Yeah. So, I really would have to look it up.
Okay.
But I mean, anybody could Google and find out what it is, but the background, it's not CG enhanced. It looks just like that. It is spectacular.
That's amazing
to look at.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Know what else is amazing? How much Ewan McGregor looks like Alec Guinness in this
film.
It's amazing.
They did a masterful job with that, transitioning
him. It's just hair and facial hair too. Yeah. Like, there's no, like, you know, extended nose on it.
Nothing.
Yeah. It's just what he looks like.
I have trained you since you were a small boy. I have taught you everything you need to know.
Oh, he doesn't stilted say it
dialogue.
Like that.
No, but the dialogue itself is stilted.
Yes.
Not his delivery of it, but, no. But the words he's giving.
No, he is the unsung hero of these films.
I agree.
Yeah. He's so good. That's such a great beard. I wish my beard looked like that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I wish.
You have a great beard too. Don't feel bad.
Not that great.
Well, that's a different color, to be fair.
Not Obi-Wan great.
To be fair, you don't really look like Ewan McGregor.
No, I don't. Not the
No. least. He is clearly Scottish or Welsh, and you are clearly not.
I am clearly very not.
You are clearly very Italian. It's okay.
Bada bing.
Yeah.
So there's this, like, parting of ways of, like, all right, well, this is the end of the line for us. I trained you since you were a little boy, and now I'm seeing you off to your first day of school.
Yeah,
like,
but there's no, like, hug or, like.
No, and it's also, like, I feel like they've done this, like, twice.
Yeah.
Didn't they have a similar conversation when Anakin goes off with Padme to Naboo in episode 2. Mm-hmm. I think it's similar, like,
yeah, you're
all right, this is it. Your training is over now.
I feel like that was more like first day of high school.
Yeah.
And this was more first day of college. Okay. Where it's like a little bit, I'm not going to see you for a while, but, you know, I was like, I'll see you in a couple hours. Right. You know, it's a little bit different.
I love these portable
hyperdrive thingies. I do like that. It was a good idea.
Again, like, why is this something that we only see now here and then we never see again?
Because nobody thought of it 30 years ago when they were making these movies before.
Well, yeah, I know that.
That's literally why.
But then, like, what I'm saying is it doesn't make sense to have more advanced technology.
It's less advanced because now it's all inside the ship.
But a TIE fighter can't go.
Because the Empire is cheap and doesn't want to put them in there.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
the Empire is cheap and doesn't want to put them in there. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't want to play for real carpet in this movie, so we're looking at a CG one right now.
Actually, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just being...
Maybe in parts, but here I think it's
real. Yeah, this is a real carpet. Yeah.
I'm not sure about a second ago, though. You might have been right at first glance.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It's a pretty color for a bedroom, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It must be horrible to sleep in Coruscant at night with all those lights. Like, if you have sensitivity or something like that, it must be horrible.
And we don't see them do anything like, oh, I'm going to, like, close the shades or, like, you know, whatever, space shades, whatever. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, I'm going to close the space shades. Yeah. Why do we call them that? Because
they're in space.
They're in space.
And
but we're on a planet. It doesn't matter, sweetie.
That's a stupid reason. Don't call them the Earth shades when you're on Earth. What?
They are the space shades. You know, do you think Anakin has multiple black leather vests, or does he just wear the same one?
Closet full of Superman.
Just like over and over again. Just like, yes, this is the, At what point in becoming a Jedi Knight do you're like, this will be my chosen uniform?
I will wear like, only this for I will the wear rest all of my life.
Yeah, I mean, like, at least, like, reverends and priests and nuns, whatever, I was like, you have, like, this it's is like the one uniform. Style. Yeah. Yeah. But they get, like, a few variations, and so, like, when do you, like, this is my chosen one.
And what about if you're Yoda? It's like, for 900 years must I wear this?
Yes, yeah, that's so true. Well, Yoda chose the comfy-looking one, that's so... True.
Except it looks like a burlap sack.
His does.
Yeah.
His does. Maybe his skin is different than ours and burlap is nice.
Yeah, there you go.
I made that up right now. That was a really good, it makes amount of sense. Like science.
Yeah, science. Yeah. Space science.
I think I was watching some video online, and it was like Star Wars characters you forgot about, and he showed up, and he was like, remember this guy? Sure, you sure don't. Remember Corduroy guy? Nope.
Corduroy guy.
And I always liked this guy, actually.
Me too.
Yeah, I really liked his design. It's rather horrifying.
Yes.
He is here.
Yeah. I've been like fascinated by his... And yes, a little bit horrified by his corduroy skin thing he's got going on. You know what I recently realized was that in Star Wars Rebels, right, season one of Star Wars Rebels, you have what's that guy's name? Is it the Inquisitor, who is the same species I think, or very at least he looks like he might be the same species as corduroy guy. Or am I?
I know I do believe you are actually correct. Those are bones. I never really thought about that before.
That's true.
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't really was that. Either.
Yeah. No, it's the same
species, right? Yeah.
Spoilers for Rebels. I need to talk about this for a second. You watched the whole season, right?
Yes.
Okay. Give me 20 seconds.
Okay.
He died. They killed him.
The Inquisitor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the younglings. Yeah, I was kind of surprised. They kind of like built this guy up, and I really like Jason Isaacs, and I was a little bummed. That was it. That's the end.
Sorry, I just realized Rebels.
It doesn't matter because it's a commentary. So right. So you could have just gone la 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 la.
But I just realized.
I thought about that too after I said it, and I was like, yeah.
That's okay. I just realized we should have bought some Yingling. For the killing of the younglings.
Oh, every time a youngling gets killed, take a sip
of Yingling.
missed opportunity.
I wish I thought of that earlier. Oh well.
Fun fact: this fight scene coming up was choreographed by storyboarded by Steven Spielberg.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Wait, I knew something about Star Wars that you didn't know.
That's
it happens. That's all. I know it does, but I just get excited when it does. Yeah, it was storyboarded by Steven Spielberg.
Do you think I'm a bigger Star Wars fan than you are?
Sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know that's not really true. I think we're pretty much on par.
I think we're very much
another.
On the same level.
Yeah. We've talked about this. This is the thing that unites us more than anything else. Yeah. It's Star Wars. Yeah. But yeah. But maybe that's why it surprises me, where it's like, why didn't you know the same thing that
I guess
know
that
about
makes
Star
sense,
Wars?
Yeah.
It's like talking to myself sometimes. Yeah. 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 Look how comfortable that looks. Look how comfy his clothes are. It's absurd how comfortable Kenobi's clothes are. I'm sorry. Look at that. Look how comfortable that looks.
The conviction on your face as you say this.
He is literally wearing like
pajamas.
Pajamas or like plush cotton towels. Like...
It's like hotel towels, you know?
Yeah, it's like hotel bathrobe.
Yes.
He's literally wearing a cut-up hotel bathrobe, and it looks so comfortable. Oh, my goodness. I never really understood. Like, I get the whole idea, like, the general must defeat the general thing, but if I was a droid, just shoot him in the back.
Yeah.
Like,
but he's a gentleman, you know, in that sense, where he has honor.
Yeah, well, honor's going to get you killed.
Yeah. Well,
I always liked this, and it was over way too soon.
The four.
Yeah, but I guess it's also very difficult to choreograph something like that without it being repetitive, so it's better to get rid of it before it's too late.
I guess.
But, I never, I was like, it was too short for me 10 years ago even to be like, that's threatening. Also, fights like this are cool. But there is no drama because you know Obi-Wan's going to survive.
That is true. We know that for a fact.
Yeah. Unless, of course, you've never seen these films before and you're watching, you know, one through.
Right.
You know, you're watching. Actually, if you watch these films for the first time, one through six, four must be really sad to watch. Because you Obi-Wan. Well, even from an Obi-Wan perspective, you, like, watch this man who, like, is such an amazing fighter. And then you get to episode four and he's like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh. Yeah. And you're like, Obi-Wan, what happened to you? I think that's the part that could be very sad to watch.
Yeah.
Also, his death means a lot more because you watched him for three and going on four films at that point.
That's
and
true.
That, you know, if that's your guy.
Yeah, it carries more weight for you.
Carries a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. You must realize that my eyes are completely made up on a computer, but mine are not.
It's the only time you really see, you know, like, oh, there's like a person in there, or there's like, you know, a creature in there.
Yeah,
like,
well, until Obi pulls apart his chest, you see a bunch of organs.
Yes,
yeah.
But this is the first time you actually see, like, oh, okay, he's more machine now than
the man. He's more machine now than whatever creature Grievous is. Twisted and evil. I never liked Big Wheel thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This just feels like...
reeks of Steven Spielberg.
I don't know.
Doesn't it? Like. No, it's like Indy running away from the boulder.
Actually, that's kind of true, yeah.
Yeah. This has a very different feel.
It feels unnecessary, though.
It's so unnecessary. You know? Grievous is an unnecessary character.
I agree. This.
Yeah. A lot more time could have spent... could have been spent on character development if Grievous wasn't in this film.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe maybe we would have had a more convincing transition of Anakin if we had Spencer or someone Grievous.
That's yeah, like this whole fight scene is irrelevant and like all of it. It's just like giving Obi-Wan like one last hurrah, heroic thing to do before like stuff hits the fan.
Right. I also like how they make a point of keeping track of the lightsabers.
Yes, I do. I also very much like that.
You just saw his lightsaber fall and
right. Get there's a continuity up. In that,
and then later on we'll see the same thing with Anakin's lightsaber. It's like I like how it's an odd detail to keep track of, but they do, and they show
that's,
it.
That's
show like
continuity.
Hand
I like
picks
that.
Up and lightsaber, and that's how it gets into the next movie. Yeah. Like
yeah, or he hand picks up lightsaber will be handed to him later.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
No. I like that a lot.
Me too.
You see, Mace Windu's robes don't look as comfortable as Obi-Wan's.
That's true. They don't. They don't look as plush and
luxurious. The girl on the right, what's her name? Okay, it's blocked right now.
I didn't see who you were talking about.
Oh, so, Death Star!
Yes.
Death Star! Oh, Anakin, come in. I was just looking at the secret plans. I paid no attention to them. They will only be important to you in the next 15 to 20 years. I do like the scene, actually. I like all the scenes with Palpatine. He actually might be my favorite character in this movie.
In this movie,
Yeah. Him and Obi-Wan. Yeah. Big fan of I love Obi-Wan. He's my favorite Star Wars character, but
Palpatine might be the best developed character in this movie.
Yeah,
like the most. Yeah, maybe the most interesting character in this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
he in some ways has the most to do too, because everything he sets everything in motion. Yeah. He has what do you call it? The explaining dialogue. Exposition. Yeah. Explaining dialogue. yeah, he has the most exposition, and he has a super cool fight sequence.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
A couple of them, actually.
It's coming now, right? This is when he tells him.
This is when he tells him that he's super evil and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, except he doesn't say it like that.
No.
Anakin, my puffy sleeves allow me to walk through the
just
door.
I was thinking those puffy sleeves are very Shakespearean.
Yes, they are.
They're like very Merchant of Venice, just sort of like...
they are. Anakin, if you give me a pound of flesh for your payments, then I will make sure that Padme survives.
There you go.
Yeah. Got it.
You know the dark side?
Yes, what? we gather for tea every so often.
The conversation we had last time where you were telling me about this Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Yeah.
That gave me no indication you know anything about the dark side.
Yes. But, Chancellor Palpatine, you seem to be wearing an uncomfortable You seem to be wearing an uncomfortable and rough-looking towel,
<Yeah. laughs>
whereas Obi-Wan wears a very comfortable-looking one, so never, I think I'm going to stick with him.
Never trust a man in an uncomfortable towel.
I'm sorry, you'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel. use my knowledge, I beg you. I just want somebody to take my knowledge. I'm so alone. There's only been two of us, and they've all been stupid.
No one even likes me.
One of them thought he was Dracula, and the other one died so early. This is so terrible. I just want a good apprentice, one that's not made of machine or anything. Oh, wait.
Wait a second.
You've already lost that, Anakin.
Yeah, well... Interesting, though, how Anakin reacts here and how certain Palpatine is that he won't kill him, or that at least if he tries to kill him, he can fight him off.
Well, he spent about 20 years of his life grooming this kid to make sure that he wouldn't kill him when he reached this point.
And even if Anakin tried right now, Palpatine could stop him.
You know, and I think that's it. His overconfidence is his weakness.
Yeah,
except in this case, it's definitely his strength.
Right.
You know, Anakin, I really love your mullet, and I really can't do that with the hair that I have now, so you must be the mullet wearer for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you want me to kill younglings? Yes, that is exactly what I said.
You got it, that's
yes,
right.
You did it. Good. You connected the dots. I didn't think you would, but you did.
Yeah. Also, we can't hear it right now, but the yipping noise that Obi-Wan's...
Yeah.
Such a weird noise.
It even says yipping on the caption says yipping.
Way to go, Ben Burt, on, like, finding...
Sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true.
I'm fascinated by that.
Folio and all that stuff. Yeah,
yeah, Folio, sound design. But yeah, just, like, sound design in general, I'm fascinated by it. I mean, maybe that's part of the reason why I like editing podcasts. Like, I enjoy the editing process of podcasts.
See, that's funny, because I enjoy photography and cinematography and the editing process, but sound design, I'm like, oh yeah, sounds, that's cool.
I enjoy all of it.
Yeah.
I love the editing. I love cinematography and the sound design too. Like I enjoy all of it.
Yeah, there's something about sound design that never
clicked for you.
Never clicked. Now, sometimes I'll go like, oh, that was cool. And that sound sticks with me. But most of the time I'm so absorbed in the film.
Mm.
I'm not thinking about what sounds I'm hearing.
Right.
I'm more focused on... I'm a narrative-driven guy. I'm more focused on story, usually, more than anything. But I'm a big costume guy, actually, as you could tell from me talking about their costumes.
I'm less into the costumes.
I always look at costumes and character designs and all that. Mm-hmm. I've always been... Even when I was a little kid, I've always been fascinated by that.
I will appreciate it, but I need to have it pointed out to me more often than not. So, like, it'll usually be you. You'll be like, did you look at the new costume design for, you know, Batman or whatever? And I'll be like, that looks really cool.
And you're like, yes, but they clearly pulled from this, then this, and this, and this. Yeah. Yeah, I love that stuff. But even, like, when I saw Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella, boom, right in the kisser. I do like that.
And then it just catches fire. That's what happens when you shoot someone in the heart.
You don't know what species this is. That might happen when plasma hits... And then your eyes explode with fire. Obviously. I do like his line after that, though. After watching him, Grievous, literally blow up, he's like, so uncivilized.
So great.
Yeah. I'd rather just cut people's arms off in bars.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a much more civilized way of living.
Well, and this actually does line up, because what does he say when he gives Luke the lightsaber? This is the weapon of a Jedi
for a more civilized day.
Yeah.
He totally thought back to that. He was like, oh, God, the time I had to
so uncivilized.
It was awful.
Just clumsy or random as a blaster.
No. But anyway, what I was going to say, when I saw Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella, what blew me away in that film was the costume designs. I'm like, oh, because clearly they're going for, like, turn of the century Germany and this and that.
Interesting.
And all the thing. And thank God the first person I saw that movie with was also a costume person, because I probably would have been punched in the face. Yeah. But I think that's why I appreciated that movie and a lot of movies so much. I'm always about the costumes. exact looks of characters and this and that and all the thing. That is a clearly CG trooper behind them.
Oh,
yeah. I've never noticed that before. He's just strutting along.
Well, most of them are because what's-his-name can't be in 50 places at once.
That's true. Hey, if I can watch Lindsay Lohan be a twin in a movie,
Yeah. But that's a little, well, yeah.
Yeah. I understand. I understand what you, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, he will have gained my trust, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm going to fly away. Bye.
Okay, goodbye. You have gained my trust. Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
I love you, too.
Her hair looks on point and red.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great music right here can't hear right now, but, yeah, but we're going to take a moment to talk about John Williams' score.
This sequence is so poignant and so just like, this is like his, this is when he decides. Like,
This is his moment. Damn all the odds.
Very nice.
Thank you.
But it really is. This is it. This is when he makes up his mind. Like, what is going to, you know, who do I choose? What do I choose? Like, what? And he's already told, you know, he's already told Mace Windu, like, so in
Ayla Secura. That's her name.
Oh, that was Ayla Secura.
That's
okay.
Twi'lek's name. Sorry. Man, that was good.
Oh, if you had said Twi'lek, I would have known.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Sorry.
I just wasn't looking.
Sorry, I had a hard time thinking of Twi'lek, too, for some reason, even though there was actually some of the cooler species in the
They're
Star Wars
cool.
universe.
Yeah.
They are super cool. I would totally hit people with my tendrils all the time. Just like,
what? Just to mess with them.
Just to mess with them. I'd probably do the same thing if I had long hair, too, so to be fair. So, like hers. Yeah. It's just... faster, more intense. Wow. Just look out the window, but faster, more intense.
Whip with your tendrils.
Vocalization continues. You would think if you didn't have you've never heard this design, you'd be like, are they telepathically speaking with one another?
Yeah. Are they looking at each other? Or
do they have really good eyesight?
I don't know.
In the Star Wars universe, I do not know. I do not know. Good honor for hiding your pregnancy with poofy dresses.
Which is not out of character for her, because she always wears poofy dresses. Yes. It just makes sense.
In episode 3, she does, but she wears some very form-fitting outfits.
Well, in episode 2, yeah, you're right. Look at the freaking... The Jedi are so freaking badass.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. It seems like yes. Yes! Now, fun fact, this was supposed to be performed by... This fight scene was supposed to be performed a lot by stunt doubles. But the day of shooting, they were supposed to shoot in the afternoon. And that morning, George Lucas was like, I feel like I want to do a lot of close-ups.
So they had to then...
So these two had to learn the choreography.
That's crazy.
That morning and perform it that afternoon. That's why when you watch it, it's like it feels choreographed.
Yeah.
Because they literally learned it a few hours before they shot the film. But look how fast he's taking them out. They just look so not ready for him.
I know.
At all. Like, you done now. And these are powerful Jedi, too. It's see, if you look at the boom, boom. Yeah, all of this was supposed to be long shots and stunt doubles.
I mean, a lot of it really is them. Some of it is stunt doubles that they just...
Some of it's stunt doubles, but a lot of it is choreographed.
A lot of it is actually them. Yeah.
Obviously it's choreographed, but a lot of it's them, and it wasn't supposed to be. But, I mean, it does make the fight more intense, but I don't like that. Even when I first saw this 10 years ago, before I knew that, I was like, this fight doesn't feel like the rest of them. It feels very... Although I've always kind of found that way with... Mace Windu's awesome, but I've always found his fight sequences to be lacking.
The way he just takes them all out.
Boom. Yeah, and that little flip thing he does is pretty awesome. Yeah, but he just... Well, you also know he's definitely stalling. Like, because if he took the rest of them out too, like, yeah, Mace Windu's maybe better than the rest of them, but he's definitely waiting for Anakin to show up.
And he also knows who's closest to Anakin, so like that, you know.
He knows that
Kit
Mace Windu doesn't like him.
Kit Fisto can
I like
go,
Kit Fisto.
But I do too.
If I had Kit Fisto's tentacles, I'd whip them in pieces.
Yeah,
too.
There you go.
There's more of them.
But yeah, it's true. He knows that they're not close, but he knows that they have a relationship at all.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to manipulate him.
Yeah, and that's what makes him. But he's manipulative. But the best part is that, like, even once he becomes his apprentice in a few short minutes, he is manipulating him for the next 20 years of his life.
Oh, yeah.
It's awful. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, just in case it's the first one. Anakin is born a slave and dies a free man, but he is a slave his whole life for different things.
It's true.
And it is probably my greatest thing I've ever said about Star Wars, ever.
It's a really very good observation. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I did like this force scarring, lightsaber scarring thing. You could tell in episode 2 that was not his intention originally because he's kind of like looking old and decrepit.
Yes.
And then he looks younger in this film.
Yeah. I think the idea originally, like when we see him in episode, well, originally we didn't see Ian McNeary really until episode 6, but let's say episode 5 and 6.
He was, yeah.
You know, inserted into episode 5 later. I think the idea was that he's just like, he's ancient. He's just like ancient and aged and decrepit. But yes, I think that he quickly realized like, okay, got to figure something out.
Got to make it more exciting.
Got to justify why he looked like this all of a sudden in 20 years.
Yeah, so. But I'm okay. I thought it was a good idea. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. He's too dangerous to be left alive. Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Kill him. Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it. Come on. Do it.
Bring the, like, oh, don't kill me. Oh,
yeah. Man. Oh, it's so fake.
I'm so weak.
Yeah. Yeah. Boom. Everybody's losing hands in this movie. That's three hands on Anakin right now.
That's true.
That's three. Will be four. Anakin has cut off four hands in six films.
What's the
two of Dooku's, Mace Windu's, Luke's?
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant Anakin.
Oh, no. In six films, Anakin has cut off four hands.
Yeah, that's true, and that's what we know about.
Yeah, that's what we know about. That is clearly Anakin's thing. He likes to cut off hands.
He's like, I lost a hand once, and now no one
will have hands. Well,
eventually, he loses all his limbs, so he's
that's
like,
true.
This is it.
This is it.
If I can't have limbs, no one can.
Yeah, that's like Darth Vader's actual.
That's
his actual mission.
His motivation.
Life. Yeah.
Okay. This I don't like. I just think this happens a little too fast for me.
Yes, it does.
A little too fast. I kind of thought it the first time I saw the movie, but I kind of let it go, and I was like, well, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. But it does go just a little touch too fast.
Yeah, but they good.
I do love what they do with the Emperor's voice in this movie, where like from this point forward,
clearly his vocal box was damaged in the force lightning.
Yeah. But it's like they do this really cool modulation to his
voice.
They
do, to cheat death. Yeah. It's so much lower than he really has a voice because he is struggling to talk.
And I remember in the theater, I haven't watched it in like, you know, Dolby 5.1 or 7.1 or any kind of surround.
I almost bought surround sound the other day, and I wish I had just watched this movie. Now we're watching on mute, so it doesn't really matter, but still.
But I have thought like how cool it would be. Because I remember in the theater that it gave the illusion that his voice was kind of like coming from everywhere. You know, it's like around you and everything. Like the force surrounds us, binds us. Do you need a moment there?
Henceforth, you shall be known as pulled this name out of my ass.
Let's see.
Yes, I like that sound.
Vader.
That's good.
What letter are we up to? T-U-V?
Did the Vader. M's and we did the T's. I guess we'll use the V's now. Yeah, we'll skip U's. You should be known as Darth Uranus. That's just where this word came from. Vader. Vader. That is the only... Well, I've said this before. Darth is supposed to be like... Darth Vader is supposed to be like Dark Invader.
Mm-hmm. Father.
Well, no, but the original intention of Darth Vader was that he was to die at the end of Star Wars.
Yes.
And so after he was named so, the original intention of the name was supposed to be Dark Invader.
I'm just telling you.
It's just a super awesome happenstance.
It is.
That means father.
But I'm telling you what America learned.
Looks so good.
When that first happened, when the hood came up, it was like, it's happening.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what I learned.
Don't tell me it didn't happen. I saw it happen.
Becca in Pitch Perfect, you know, told us all that it was, you know, its father, and it was right there in the name the whole time. I mean, I knew that already, but it was just funny.
His name is Father. Didn't anybody ever think of that.
Anyway, just look at the freaking Emperor is back, or back, you know, here for the first time, but also back from our perspective.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I need to go to the Jedi Temple and kill everyone. Because I am the Emperor, and I can say these things.
I need you to kill you.
I love that as soon as he's... I do love that as soon as he had Force Lightning, he's like, my hands will now go into shriveled old man mode.
I have carpal tunnel now.
Yes, before I could put my arms down, but now I can't. This is my bane of my existence. My Darth Bane.
That
was a better name. Damn it. Damn it. I spoke too soon. I should have said Darth to be named later.
TBD.
Yeah, Darth TBD.
Oh, but T was taken. Damn it.
Damn it. I backed myself into a corner.
Nothing quite like my favorite emperor is Robot Chicken's emperor.
Oh, yeah. I just love.
What the hell is an aluminum falcon?
Who's they? Do you guys want to order something? They're like, oh, geez, he's crying.
Okay. just get back here.
Yeah.
Okay, now this shot that's coming up
excellent
here.
Shot. So I remember this being in the trailer.
I do too.
And I remember thinking that the majority of the movie was going to be him going off the rails, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Which was kind of sad in its own way. Yeah. But I do like the build to it.
Yeah. And it happened pretty suddenly as it is. So, like,
it did.
If it had been the whole movie, it would have, you know.
It's true. Well, but, like we've said before, one and two could have been one movie, and three could have been two movies.
Yeah, true. That's true. It also could have, like, we could have started this movie in a place where he's further along in the progression already.
Yes, you know? That's true.
Or we could maybe
he could have been already on the Jedi Council.
Yeah, we could start there. Like yeah, that. Something like that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a few things he could do.
Though, but his, if he was fully matured in, say, the way that, like, Obi-Wan is,
yes.
His fall wouldn't make as much sense.
Yeah, because part of it is
because the fact that he still thinks kind of like a kid is the way that he's influenced. It's not as, he's not as easily taken as an adult. Because we don't know how old Darth Maul was.
That's true.
Really?
That's true.
Based on the films.
Yeah, we don't maybe know how it might
old
be somewhere
is.
In the
Yeah, we, based on the films, we don't know how old he is. And Tyrannus clearly had, like, he has his own motives also with the Sith, you know?
That's right.
It's a little different for him.
Have we done Order 65 yet?
Yes, my lord.
We ordered the bacon. Excellent.
Then execute Order 66.
Good thing we didn't get those mixed up, boys, huh? Well, 4th of July would have been really awkward.
This sequence of really Keanu Mundi
has a, I don't know why I'm still talking like the Emperor. Keanu Mundi has a, he deflects those blasts like nobody's business.
I know, he's on fire.
He has one of the best, he has some of the best choreography right there.
This actually makes me sad. This sequence always makes me really
sad. I know,
sad.
And he's like, he has no screen time like ever, but I do feel bad for this guy. He says it all in his face, like,
the betrayal.
And there's, he sees it, and there's no, he knows.
And he tries. This. He goes out
he
fighting.
He tries,
but
oh, he's cut a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all of this.
Aayla Secura. Like, yeah.
Aayla Secura next,
She falls kind of awkwardly.
Well, yeah, but they...
It's just the way that she's like, oh no, the blasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, I know, that's just, I have to fall on this pad, I know. It's just, see, like, oh no.
They shoot her from behind, like, she shot from behind.
There was, yeah, cool. There was, like, no honor. There's no honor in
and they're still 66. Shooting her while she's down, too, which is, like...
It's awful, yeah.
And poor Yoda starts to figure out what's going on here.
Poor Yoda's starting to have a heart attack. Yeah, and a migraine. He's like, oh,
millions
no.
of oysters.
I am so old. Millions of oysters. I've disappeared. I'll contact you guys next. Yeah, because you're flying a plane. I want to disturb you. Don't text and drive.
Get home safe.
Yeah.
Plo Koon.
He didn't have a there's no chance. There's no ejecting from that. There's nothing. I don't even know who you are. Star Wars
I don't
person.
Remember her name.
I don't know her. I'm so good at these two, and a horrible way to die.
That's bad.
That's bad too. She's not even on there. She could still be alive. She wasn't on there. Wookiees, we don't age ever. We're hundreds of years old.
Yeah, I wonder how old they are. Like,
well,
I don't...
Chewie's 200.
Is he 200
in this film?
In this film.
In this film.
Okay.
So he's rather old mm-hmm. by the time that we get to him in Force Awakens.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah, he's they like 250
lived for
by then.
Yeah, but he's but they live for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Yoda long, but it's not unusual to think, you know,
yep.
Yoda's, you know, 800 and something here,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
840? Yeah, about. Yeah.
A little lower than that, I think. He's 900 by the time we get to
right.
Empire.
So he's a little younger than that, because if he's 900 by the Empire.
It's like, this is like 25 years before Empire.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, 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 so he's yeah. like. Sorry, I added double for some reason. That's I don't okay. know why. I added episode one numbers, and I don't know why.
That's fine.
What? There are oh too many. God. Oh, so sad.
Hi, I'm a little version of you. What are you going to do to me?
I hate children. That kid's reaction is actually really
good.
That
was a good reaction.
It's a good reaction. Yeah. It's probably one of the best in this film.
Yeah, honestly.
The Chancellor's office indicated that all the cell phone lines are down, so we cannot, you know, and he may be there, but you know what? This planet's freaking huge, so we don't know.
Oh, God.
I do feel bad for her.
I do, too.
No, Natalie Portman. She's not given anything to do.
Oh.
No. No, I do feel bad for her. I do feel bad for her, too. She's pregnant. She had a lot of emotions yeah. without the, and, like, thinking and that like Anakin
watching
is dead.
The watching the temple burn and thinking that her husband is
there? Dead, that's is, awful. Yeah. Her secret husband.
Yeah.
So she can't even grieve.
She can't tell anybody.
She can't
yeah.
grieve this way that right. she would, and right. she's going to be a mother.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
yeah, that's it's pretty terrible. This film's dark. Yeah, but it's like, the thing is, like, this film doesn't really address any of that.
That's true.
Like, you have to, like, you have to, it's all subtext, like, you have to, like, think about it yeah. going in. That's the part that I don't necessarily like. Now, also, it could be good because the movie's making you think, but.
That's true.
You know, this it's not written on a shoulder. This
is Padawan.
Is George's son.
That's right. It's Jet Lucas. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Who has excellent choreography.
Yes.
Of course, Jet Lucas lasts longer than all the Jedi Masters.
Of course it does.
You know, go Jimmy Smits, go!
Go, Jimmy Smith. Go, Jimmy.
You still
go,
have to be on go. TV. Go.
Right off into the night.
I like, were you doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles vanilla ice wrap?
Nope.
Go, Ninja.
Not.
Go, Ninja.
Nope,
go.
Because
you were like, you were saying, go, Jimmy Smith. Go.
Was,
go. Was, yeah. And that's what you were really doing. Yeah. I'm so happy. Thank you. I was like, what a weird coincidence.
What a crazy random happenstance.
That's good. Did you know Joss Whedon made more money off of Dr. Horrible than he did making the first Avengers?
I did hear that, yes.
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
He has no spite at all, though, clearly.
No, none whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got the farm. He should be happy.
Yeah. But he had to give him the lake.
He had to give up the cave.
He had to get the cave, yeah.
Caves are farms. Can't have all that landscape running around in Avengers 2. Like, whew. I kind of wish the cave was there, a little less farm.
Mm.
Yeah, but you know what? Jeremy that's Renner's right. happy, and that's what matters.
That's right.
Peter Mayhew turned 71 today as we were recording this.
Turned 71?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, good for him.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantabulous. We met him a few years ago.
We did. He was huge.
He's enormous.
I remember shaking his hand and feeling two.
Yeah. Because
my hands are, like, they're pretty good size. Sure. I don't have small hands.
Sure,
like,
sure.
You don't shake my hand and wonder where my hand is.
Oh, puny little.
Yeah,
oh,
like, yeah. yeah. But I, like, my hand, like, literally went into his. And I was like.
Enveloped him.
I swear I have fingers. You're not just shaking a nub.
You like, feel like Yoda. Ah, look, it's the. Oh, my God.
10 to 4.
10 to 4.
Is this 10 to 2? Is it? Because, like, otherwise, Leia's got a freaking old ship.
No, it's a 10 to 4.
It's definitely the 10 to 4.
There's a whole debate about that, by the way, because there was some. I believe it was a. I want to say it's an EU novel. Someone will correct me, I'm sure. Where. They allege that that is not the 10 to 4, that it's another ship altogether that is completely identical in every way, and that it's called the Sundered Heart. And I, for one, don't believe that. I very much think that it's the 10 to 4. I am from among the ones who believe that it's the 10 to 4 all the way.
So I see, the only thing, my only problem with it being the 10 to 4 is...
As we crack open another beer here?
Yeah, my only problem with being 10-4 is that, like, Dad gave Leia a really old ship to escape the Empire in. Like,
well,
was it his plan that she get captured? Because that's a 20-year-old ship.
At least.
Like, you wouldn't, like...
I don't know.
In today's 2015, that'd be like it.
But I we guess. Don't know. We don't know if that's how it is. If it's like maybe ships last for 50 years. Maybe that's, like, normal.
That's true. Well, I'm sure that there is something out there. Tweet at us at Beer with Geeks and let us know how long ships last.
Maybe it's more like a house.
Maybe we'll learn in the ship graveyard in Force Awakens how long ships
last. There you go. Yeah.
On Jakku, that is actually just Tatooine, I swear.
Jakuine.
I'm not going to be surprised at all if Jakku turns out just to be Tatooine.
Like with a different name.
Yeah, it's going to be, he's pulling the Khan thing. It's definitely not Khan. It's definitely not Tatooine.
Yeah, no.
I'm definitely not making a Star Wars movie.
I think it probably is its own planet. I really don't
have a problem with it being its own planet. It's like, you know, there's only one planet in the galaxy that can have desert.
Right.
And that's Tatooine. Right. Like, that's fine. I don't care.
I don't know. I think it's his own planet. I think it will turn to be its own planet. Like, I think we probably will see Tatooine at some point, though. I hope we do anyway.
Eventually in three films. I mean, it's just kind of Star Wars staple to go to Tatooine at some point. But I don't need to go to. It's a new set of films. I don't need to go back and see the planets or moons that I've already seen.
Right.
I want to see new stuff. Come on, give me something new.
Of course.
Like, but I don't mind going, like, seeing Tatooine in episode one was like, oh, look, it's Tatooine. That feels nice. Yeah. So I wouldn't mind something like that. But show me something new, too. I don't want to go back to Hoth, like, again, and Endor, and, you know.
I mean, I wouldn't mind visiting there if there's a good story reason for it.
Right, exactly.
But I wouldn't want to go back there just for the sake of it. But Tatooine, unless
they're looking for Luke and they go to all the old stomping grounds, or something like that.
Looking for Luke in Alderaan places.
He's in an asteroid field. Yeah.
That's a Tantive IV. Come on, guys.
Yeah, I guess so.
It is.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I believe it. Yeah, I mean, those walls, oh my god. I remember looking at this theater and being dark and then going to that hallway and going, it hurts.
I just remember being like, that's the hallway where this stuff's going to happen and that stuff's going to happen.
People are going to die there.
So many people. Yeah, I just completely geeked out at this point. Lost it. Jimmy Smits looks pretty comfy too in his clothes.
That's what prompted my thought on this. But you're right, his does look more like a burlap sack than
it does. But like you said, maybe his skin is like maybe that fits the texture of his skin and it makes him comfortable.
Maybe
Yoda that's just what he likes, you know?
That's just what Yoda likes.
Don't judge his life, man. Let him live.
I don't know. But we must move quickly to the Stadol communications down there. Look at that lava. Look at that.
So much lava.
They filmed real lava for this.
I know they did.
Fun fact. On Mustafar. It's a real planet.
They went to Mustafar. They went, shot on location. There's some shots where it looks amazing, and there's some shots where it looks way
off. My crippled heads are back.
I wonder if they've, like, changed anything. I don't know, but I just realized that the two of the guys next to Nuke Gunray are whatever species. What's his name? The guy who Ponda Baba. They're Ponda Baba species.
The weird
butt faces. The walrus
butt faces. I don't know. We just called them the butt faces. We didn't have names for them. That's what
Mark Hamill.
Good old Mark Hamill.
We didn't know the names until the action figures came out. We just called them Walrus Man and Buttface. And
it's pretty good, Mark Hamill. It's not bad.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. Yeah. It's pretty bad.
I don't know. Tolkien seemed to like it. He's looking at you like, whoa.
Butt
is that
face.
Mark Hamill sitting on the couch? See, he's just looking at you.
Your cat is just staring at me because he thinks I'm Mark Hamill. That's crazy. I just love seeing that ship fly. Like, I would watch hours of that ship flying. Just because.
I could just edit together those scenes.
Could you? Would you?
Could you? Would you? Would you want to join the dance?
Yeah. No, there's one shot in particular I'm thinking about. It's at the end of, like, I think it's the last shot we see of Mustafar, actually, in this film. Does not look very convincing in terms of the lava. It's just not. it just doesn't sell me. And it's actually, it took me some time to notice it, but well, whatever. When we get there, I'll point it out and see if our listeners, and also see if this digital version fixed it in any way, I wonder. But I don't know of any edits they made in this re-release, like, you know,
digital
content edits.
Digital edits? Yeah. I don't think they did. But we're also not, we're also watching it on mute, so if they're changing anything.
There could be sounds that we don't know and
yeah,
that we're not hearing. But I haven't seen any, I haven't noticed anything visual that I never saw before.
No, I haven't either.
See, look.
Welcome, Lord Vader. Behind I will, him. This scene was very cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, poor Jedi Temple. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go. Yoda, Yoda. Ooh, that's terrible. Yeah. It's a good thing that they decided that lightsabers cauterize wombs, because...
Yeah, because... Well, actually, I was thinking about... I was listening to a podcast. I can't remember which one it was. I would give credit if I could remember. But they were talking about when... going back to Pondababa, when Obi-Wan cuts off Pondababa's arm in the cantina.
Yeah.
How there's blood on it, because they hadn't yet realized
that
would cauterize
a wound.
Yeah.
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 Yes. I wish that, why wouldn't you just digitally edit out that blood? I still don't understand.
I don't want them to I don't want them to change it and make any more changes. Like, I'm fine with, in principle, with the special edition and everything that's come ever since. There's some edits I think are unnecessary. I think that would be one of them. Like, I understand, like, okay, yes, whatever, but just leave it be at this point. I think just leave it.
Yeah, I'm sure, leave it be for sure. But I think, if you're trying, the whole point of the edits is to like build continuity and a similar feel between these films. Why wouldn't you do that?
I know,
but blood also sprays up. In front of Maul's face when he gets cut in half in episode one, he goes and he goes and there's a spray of blood. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's confusing.
Mm. I don't know.
I do not know. I still love the design of the Senate.
Oh, me too.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
It is very cool. His robes are very comfy too.
Yes. Well,
but he's
only the best.
He's
for him.
Disfigured now, so you know. The attempt on my life has left me scarred. So I'm going to wear comfy robes and declare myself emperor. Everyone cool with that? Yeah! Great! No problem.
I would like to believe that if this were to happen in real life, there wouldn't be so much... everyone wouldn't be so on board as they are. Oh, those eyes.
That's cool. Like that we look around, but there's a guy in another room. I haven't, killed yet. Yeah. The tech master guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the IT guy?
Yeah. You smell like soup. You ever see, did you see the John Oliver interview with Edward Snowden?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That just reminds me of, look, no, you're like the IT coming guy and just don't. I don't want to learn.
Yeah.
And you smell like canned soup.
God, you don't smell like feet wrapped in leathery burnt bacon.
Ugh. Oh, Jesus, crying.
But yes, the celebrity dies with thunderous applause. I find it hard to believe that people would just willingly be like, yeah, give him all the emergency power he wants forever.
Julius Caesar?
I find it hard to believe that everyone would agree.
Well, no, not unanimously. Everyone, but not everybody agreed. You just watched the scene in which not everybody agreed.
Well, everyone but two people agreed. The whole Senate chamber was clapping.
The whole galaxy. Well, that's just how awesome Palpatine was at manipulating people.
I guess so.
But, you know, people could also have been applauding because maybe he's blackmailing them or he's controlling them in other ways. Hitler?
I'm not saying it doesn't ever happen. I'm just saying that the overwhelming majority.
I popped to first. But,
because Godwin's law.
Yeah.
Any conversation on the internet will eventually come around to Hitler.
Yeah, but I thought of Julius Caesar first.
Well,
that's what I said. Yeah. That was my original thought process to that. But that was my but you're right. No, it's never unanimous, but it doesn't have to be unanimous. It has to be the majority.
That's true.
And
but I'm just saying it looks like a pretty big majority. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, it's like a super majority. But it has to be the but
anyway.
But that's also just tension.
That's true. Yeah.
If you're looking for, we're arguing about the wrong movie.
I'm not even arguing. I wasn't even really.
But you know what I mean. But you know what I mean. The wrong movie to think about stuff like that.
That's true.
I mean, I mean, there are more important points to make, like, look how comfy he looks. Like, is he really that upset? Because he looks like he could take a nap. Like,
just put your head down. It's fine. No one tell anybody. Just close your eyes. It's fine. He's like my brother. I cannot do it. Like,
can you? Is he really like your brother? I mean, have you had a brother? Do you know what that's like, Obi-Wan? Because I'm pretty sure you were taken from a kid, so you just have a simulacrum of a brother. So you don't really know what that's like. So yeah, maybe to him, he is like a brother, but not like a real brother, because he doesn't know what that's like.
Are you even allowed to love people?
Yeah. No, they're not. Not really. They're not allowed to do anything. Jedis, by their own rules and principles, should be super boring.
And it's not even by choice, because they're taken when they're kids. It's like, okay, you have... Imagine if, like...
It's really their parents who are like, yes, yeah, we want them to be a Jedi. Yeah. Good luck. See you later. Yeah.
Imagine if, like, you're like, oh, my kid is strong, like, strong with the Force. Like, my kid is really good at baseball. He is literally going to do nothing but play baseball for the rest of his life. Like, well, and he's four right now.
That's actually also not... That's not uncommon in other cultures. I have a... a really long, convoluted way of getting there. So I know somebody who is a girl from China who's studying in America right now. And her father told her when she was nine that she could either be a tennis player or go to school.
Oh, wow.
That was it. You can choose which one you want to do at this. And she chose school.
Yeah.
And so she stopped playing tennis the next day. That was it. You were done now.
Wow.
And that's what she, you know, and she went to school.
That's intense.
But if she said tennis, she would stop going to school. She would have maybe been homeschooled or whatever. And tennis would have been the thing that she did the rest of her life. And so it's not, and that's not uncommon in other parts of the world. Mm. And so, it's just very, it's very odd to think that.
Yeah. Well, that's a very, it's just like, this is literally like an all consuming, like the Jedi thing is like an all consuming thing that they don't get to know anything else but that life at all.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I'd do it.
How weird, by the way, just to change the subject, how weird must it be to have someone come to you and be like, by the way, your spouse is Hitler. Like, how, just like yesterday.
Your spouse is more like Goebbels than Hitler, but okay. I get what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, he's a mass murderer, and he's on a mission, and I have to go kill him now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm leaving here.
Yes, your secret spouse that you didn't think anybody knew about, I know about him. And yeah, you're pregnant. I know that he's a father. Cool. Thought about that. Okay, I'm going to go murder him now. Okay, bye.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah. Someone that you've known for a long time.
Yeah.
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 Like, you've known that dude for like 10 years.
Yeah.
15, 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So true. Awful to think about. As I said, there's a lot of things in this movie that you go, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But it never draws attention to those things.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah. That's where I always think it screws up, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I always forget that he comes to Mustafar first for Nuke on Rey, and that everything, you know, that everyone follows him there. But I always forget that that's the reason why he's sent there.
He's there to take out the Separatists, you mean?
Well, specifically, yeah.
You forget that's why he went there?
Yeah, I do. Like, yeah. When I'm not watching the movie, I'm like, how do we end up on Mustafar again?
Oh, I understand. Like, okay.
There's just some reason.
They're all hanging out on the Separatists. They're all hanging out.
Yeah.
Which is actually a clever planet to go hide on, because there's no, you can't attack it with ground troops or anything like that. Right. It's actually, strategically, it's a good idea.
And it's so far out in the Outer Rim.
Right. Yeah, well,
we're such nerds. I know.
We're sitting here on a weeknight, doing commentary for our own podcast, which we don't get paid for, on a Star Wars for fun on a Star Wars movie, and this is the third time we've done this,
and we're gonna do it at least three more times.
Do it at least three more times. Yeah, we're nerds. Yeah.
Well, cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to Beer with Geeks, right?
Well, you've been listening to Beer with Geeks. No, I'm sorry. Stop. No, sorry. Over 50 episodes in, I'm just used to it now. Thing I didn't press pause. Giant floating emperor head says important things of importance.
Yeah, that's very reminiscent of the scene in Empire Strikes Back, the one where they reinserted Ian McDiarmid before it was the old lady with the monkey eyes. But, you know, he's on his knees. And yeah, he's on his knees and there's, well, I'm really glad actually. That's one change that I very much approve of. Like, we needed that. We needed to have Ian McDiarmid reinserted into that movie.
Oh yeah, I don't mind those. I didn't, like I said, there's some changes that I'm like, absolutely. Yes, good on you. That does make a lot more sense. Others, not so much. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some aren't necessary, but some I really wholeheartedly approve of.
That's a big one I'm a very big fan of.
Even some that people find controversial, I'm a fan of, like replacing Boba Fett's voice with...
Oh, I don't even care about that, to be honest.
Well, that one I like. I mean, we had this whole conversation about Boba Fett earlier, but because, like, he's supposed to be a clone, so he should have the same voice.
I agree.
So, for continuity purposes, that makes sense.
That's a low-level one. Like, that's fine. I'm fine with that one. Or you know, like, either way. I could go either way on that one. I don't really care as much. This is just so, like, Anakin's doing this, at least he thinks he's doing it for her. And there she is, and he's still, as much as he's a ruthless, merciless killer, he still loves her, and he still has tenderness for her.
Oh, her hair is in the shape of a heart. That's super cute.
She gonna die. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, there's still a piece of him that is still very much human, and he still is in love with her.
Yeah, he's only got a robot hand right now. Of course he's very much human. Yeah.
He's still more man than
a cyborg.
He's still more man than machine.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
He's not twisted and evil yet. He's just twisted. Well, we're not to the evil part yet.
Yeah. He's kind of evil. He just killed a bunch of kids. Just cause.
That's the twisted part.
Okay.
We're not totally evil. All when she dies, then he's totally evil.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But not until he cries no is he totally evil.
Totally evil. All right.
Actually, it was funny when I was setting this up and I was like, oh, we have to put it on mute. Oh, no, we're not going to hear the no. Like, I was a little like, oh, no, I look forward to it now, like in a bad way, but I look forward to it.
Do you know that I didn't realize, this is kind of like semi-embarrassing to admit, I didn't realize that the do not want meme came from this movie.
Really? What? What meme is that? I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. When people talk about, on the internet, people talk about, you know, something sucking, they say do not want, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard that, and I just thought, like, oh, that's just like a thing that was on the internet. Like, oh, do not want, whatever, you know, like.
Yeah.
That comes out of, I don't remember what language it was, but there was a bootleg copy of this film, that had bad subtitles.
Oh, okay.
And when he says no, the subtitle said do not want.
That's amazing. Oh my God.
Do not want. And that spawned this whole meme.
Yes, I made a good choice. Yes. Yes. I do rather hate that that Obi-Wan was standing there with his arms on his hips like, Obi-Wan is here.
I'll wait.
Yeah. I'll wait for you to be done. I'll wait.
Ugh. And how quickly he turns on her, and he's just like,
well, he clearly thought they were sleeping together.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which I think there was supposed to be some kind of, like, weird
romantic
triangle that eventually got discarded.
Yes, which I'm glad it was.
Yeah, I'm glad, too. Yeah. I kind of like the stoic, celibate-ish Jedi.
Yeah.
Because it adds a better dynamic between him and Padme.
Yes.
And, like, more their secret. Because otherwise, why would it be a secret?
Yeah.
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 And it makes their duel right now, this good and evil, more of a climactic, mythological battle, more than just like, oh, we slept with the same woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now we're going to fight with our lightsabers.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's like a little detail, just establishing, okay, she's still alive. Like, Obi-Wan's checking on her, she's still alive. Like, that's...
Yeah, no, that's good.
Keeping
the details. That's a good establishing detail. Yeah, you're right. That's a good shot, but I do not like when he's like, only a Sith speaks in absolutes. Like,
that's an absolute!
You just spoken one. You, sir, don't know what an absolute is. That word does not mean what you think it means. Yeah.
And I like how you mean, like, only a Sith deals with absolutes. Well, time to kill you now. Like, yep. What?
Yep. Well, he knows that there's no coming back from being a Sith.
I mean, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Except that there is, as we find out later.
Yep, except that there is. But he doesn't
30
know that.
Years.
He doesn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Unprecedented moment in history. And the spinnings, yay. I do kind of wish that he has a red lightsaber for this moment instead of the blue.
But you know why he has
to have blue. Story-wise, it doesn't make sense for him to have a red one. It's not like, you're a Sith now, so here's this red crystal for
your lightsaber.
I was keeping this for you. Yeah, just in cases.
And he has, And he has to...
he has to lose the saber for Obi-Wan. Yeah, story-wise, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
But, that I just wished it was red.
Right. Yeah, okay. I'm with you.
I do kind of wish the Emperor's Guards also got to do something, because they're super cool in the expanded universe and they're super lame in the movies, because all they do is get hit and fall down and walk places.
They're basically like in Smallville, Luther Corp security.
Yeah.
That's just basically what they are.
Yeah. Or stormtroopers in different...
Yeah.
At least stormtroopers shoot a gun.
Yeah. I mean, these guys just stand around and get
anything,
shot.
But they shoot a gun.
Yeah.
They use up all their hit points in the first 5 minutes of New Hope. After that, it's all downhill for them.
I love that when George Lucas went to John Williams for episode one, and he said, okay, there's this big lightsaber duel, right? And it's Darth Maul, and I need you to, it ends up being, the focal point of the movie, really. But when he was scoring, John Williams was scoring that, Lucas told him, like, and that's going to tie in then to the third movie, and there's going to be, like, this, like, mirror image where in the third film, you'll see, like, that it's like that same battle happening again. And he was thinking already ahead. Like, obviously, he knew where the story was going, but
right, of course.
He had this idea of this symmetry for episode one and episode three, to have the symmetry of, like, there's this grand battle.
Battle for Anakin's soul, basically.
For Anakin's soul. And in the first one, the good guys win, but in this one, the bad guy wins.
Yep. See, there's stuff like that, that's what makes these movies so awesome.
Yep.
It's just that none of that is really... It's so easy to hate on the prequels that stuff never gets drawn... That stuff never gets attention drawn to it. And it just,
My biggest problems with the prequels, and I don't have many of them, I do not. But the ones that I do have are more with execution.
You do not have.
I don't.
Have you do not.
I do not. But the ones that I do have are more about execution than they are
I do love that he says Darth Vader will become more powerful than the universe. And he goes, Yoda really should go... Who's that?
Yeah.
His name's Anakin.
Yeah.
What kind of stupid name is that? Should have been called Darth Bane. I know. I thought of that. Too late. I already dictated his name was Vader. I know. I'm a fortune teller. That's why I wear a hood. Anyway, sorry. What?
I was just saying, the few problems I have are more in execution than they are anything else.
Yeah,
but the subtext is there. It's there.
Oh, yes, and there's tons of it.
And there's tons of it.
And maybe Lucas is giving his audience more credit than they deserve.
In some ways, I think in some ways he is giving more credit. In some ways, I think certain things are purposefully, I hate to use the word shallow, but I'm struggling to think of something else right now. But I think a lot of things are very, like, simplistic on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And other things, there is deep, rich subtext.
Well,
you could pick apart for years.
These are ultimately movies for children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think Force Awakens is going to be that way. And I don't know if that's a detriment to the Star Wars franchise or not, because children are not driving the box office. 18 to 49 year olds are.
Yeah, I think it will be for both. I think it will be for children, in that it will be enjoyable for children, but I think that you will
In the way that maybe Marvel movies are also for children. I love when they use force push against each other.
Yes.
It's a great moment right here. And no touching. Nope, never mind. Good thing. Yeah.
Not touching.
Inside jokes. So funny.
Electronic twittering, it just said.
Captions. Yeah. Hold on, I gotta tweet this out.
About to kill my apprentice. Oh, lol.
Yeah. Was like brother. funnies. I totally forgot the point that, maybe Marvel movies are for adults, but kids can enjoy them.
Yeah, I think
those lines. Yeah.
Where there's two layers and there's,
you gotta sell toys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bottom line, gotta sell toys.
You gotta sell toys. There has to be colorful, you know, big action sequences that kids can be like, whoa, that was cool. But then there has to be subtext and there has to be story beats that only, or at least make more sense when you're an adult.
Yes.
There has to be that.
That's absolutely great with all of that. I certainly want kids to enjoy these films just as much as adults do.
Yeah, totally.
They only last if kids enjoy them.
That's true.
And Lucas knew that.
Yes.
And not only people give him enough credit for knowing that, these movies only last when kids enjoy them.
I think that's one thing that I've heard said, is that we grew up, you know, watching Star Wars, but Star Wars stayed the same.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
So it's, and new, you know, these films are in many ways, as much as people say that they're totally different from the original trilogy, they are in many ways in the same vein, where it's like, it is an action adventure space opera, you know, serial based, mm-hmm. you know, Flash Gordon type, adventure, for better or for worse. You know, there's some things about maybe the execution of the prequels that is, lacking, and I will cop to that and I'll agree with that. But overall, I still love the story that's being told. And if I, you know, maybe this is wrong to say, but if I have to fill in the blanks here and there myself, so be it, because I enjoy the greater story as a whole, that even if I feel like the prequels are lacking some things, I still greatly, greatly enjoy this entire saga, and I wouldn't... It's Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's Star Wars.
At the end of the day, it's Star Wars.
It's my thing. It's the wars, man.
The wars.
Oh, that shot right there where they clash and the...
This shot has been seen on many a publication.
Oh, yes. I remember seeing that in the trailer and just being like, whoa, the planet is reacting to them. It's like Oa. Green Lantern.
Good call. Good. But not Oa of the movies.
No.
We won't talk about that.
What, there wasn't a movie. I don't know what you're talking about. There hasn't been a movie of Green Lantern. I don't know what you're talking
not
about.
Not a live action movie. There's some pretty good animated movies and a great show, but a live action movie? What's that?
I never made one of those. No.
What's that?
Nope.
Starring lovable rogue Nathan Fillion? What? No, it wasn't. Yep. lava. Real lava. Nobody was hurt in the making of this movie.
You know what's...
Not true.
But yeah. You know what's interesting is on the original DVD extras for this film, they showed like this scene, like a couple shots from the scene and like how they were done from start to finish. And their whole thing was like, let's show like every aspect of filmmaking, but like as it applies to this scene. Like these shots in this scene. The idea was like, okay, let's show the special effects, and let's show the practical effects, and let's show the choreography, and let's show the sound design, and the scoring, and everything. And what ended up happening was that whole documentary was like, you just watch the same scene over and over and over again,
right.
Different aspects of it, which I'm sure in theory was a really cool idea. Like, wow, you'll get to see this sequence, like,
built
go from
up
start
from,
to finish.
Yeah.
But it just got to be really boring because you're just watching the same scene over and over and over again.
Right.
It was a good idea. It just didn't
becomes
really
a little monotonous.
Yeah, it was.
What do you think of Yoda's like, I have to go into exile now because I failed this one time?
Well, I think it's because everyone's supposed to think he's dead. So I think I buy it for that reason. I think that maybe he probably should try to fight a little bit more.
Yeah, he kind of literally just gives up.
But I think it's because this is my chance. They think I'm like they're this is the only chance I have to escape where they'll think I'm they'll believe I'm dead. So I can get out now and try to fight from the... There's also, he sees, like, the greater victory of, like, okay, maybe I can't win this battle, but I can still win the war.
Right, but in exile would argue that he's not helping fight anything.
But the Force.
No.
But the Force.
No.
But he already knows how to...
No, he loses his marbles.
No, I don't think so.
No, he doesn't. But I'd love that version. It's my favorite version of Yoda. It's like when he's like Yoda butt rummaging through the trunk.
Yeah, it's
my favorite version of Yoda.
Mine.
Why would help you not? Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite Yoda too. Yeah. I agree.
How do you get so big eating food of this kind?
Yes, I love that. Yeah. No, that is my favorite style of Yoda as well.
Yeah.
Crazy old Yoda.
Crazy old
Maurice.
Yeah, right, exactly. Crazy old Yoda. Mm. Crazy old Master Yoda.
Mm. Take it to him, I will.
There's a Yoda up there.
There is a Yoda.
When we watch episode 5, he should come and watch it with us.
Okay, yeah.
And we could talk to him like he were real.
I'll wear him. It's a Yoda
he's a
backpack.
Puppet. Yeah,
it's a Yoda backpack. I'll wear it.
No, that one's a puppet.
Puppet. Oh, okay.
That's a puppet, yeah.
Well, I'll wear the backpack because you have that too.
I do.
And I'll just run around and do backflips and stuff with
Yes,
Yoda
that was very odd that I still have that backpack. Fun story, I ordered that backpack for Frank's sister as a fun surprise gift, and they sent me two, and I only paid for one, and so I still have a Yoda backpack for no reason.
Because why not?
Yeah, because why not?
Thank you, Amazon.
Yeah. Thank you. You so very seldom screw up like that.
From my point of view, the Jedi are evil. Then you are lost! Oh,
yes. It's very sweaty on this planet, Anakin. Why must you choose this one?
And they looked into each other's eyes, and they fell in love.
Yay. Yay. But, I mean, from Anakin's view, they really have kind of screwed him over since he's got there.
Yes.
First thing they say to him is, like, no, he will not be trained.
But, like...
He just left his mom and his life for nothing.
But he spent...
Take him back to being a slave.
I'm playing devil's advocate now, okay? So this is not what he spent the better part of, a couple decades being a Jedi, and now in, like, a couple months or weeks or whatever this is...
Okay.
He just changes his mind? I don't know. Anyway, there's a big... This is about to get really important. So,
yeah,
I feel
we're watching it on mute, though, so what does it matter?
I know, but I feel like I shouldn't be going off on a...
And slice and dice! Yeah. Good thing he didn't chop off all his limbs, or he would have fallen right into the lava. God, Obi-Wan, you're so inconsiderate.
Oh, God.
I do like that George Lucas took from the EU... That they fought on a volcano they fought on a volcano planet. That's quite excellent.
I do like that he drew from the EU for that, though. I think that is
excellent. I don't know if that maybe was his original idea, and the EU took that,
that
idea
could be,
and
yeah,
then
I guess
that way. I'm not sure the inception of that original idea, but yeah. Well,
and there's the lightsaber.
I'm gonna give this to your future son. Hope that's cool.
Your father wanted you to have this.
I hate you! Well, maybe he didn't.
All right. Yeah.
Maybe
details.
Maybe he didn't want details. You to have. Nope. You don't need to know that.
He was also almost called Darth Bane. I'll tell you that another time.
Yes. Yes. It would have been a much better name. Yes. Yes.
I loved you.
But not in the way Padme loves you. Just no homo. Just so you know. It's got a sting.
This Sith is on fire!
Sorry.
High five for that. That's good. Oh, look at him go. Oh. I like that Obi-Wan's like, I should probably not look at this.
But I'm
going to
turn away.
Look at this.
I'm just going to turn away. I remember thinking that as soon as his hair burned off when I watched this for the first time, I was like, oh, my God, that kind of looks like Sebastian Shaw now. Oh, my God, they're doing it.
Yeah,
they're going
they
there.
Did. They
they're
went
heading
for
in that
it.
Direction.
Yep. And then you watch Return of the Jedi again.
Well.
And he didn't look like Sebastian Shaw anymore.
Nope. But watching this on its own, I was like, that looks
wow,
that looks just like him. And then, yep. No, it didn't. But, you know.
All that force healing. Couldn't grow back any hair.
Nope.
That's not a force power.
That just goes to show you guys.
Force power.
Men out there, when you see all those, like, you know, cures for... balding on television, even a powerful Sith Lord could not grow back his hair.
Nope.
So
can't be done.
You know, take that for what it's worth.
Yep. Nope.
She's losing the will to live, guys. It's happening.
I really wish that he really did just like literally choke the life out of her and she was dying because of that, not because she was like, and I'm sad. Though it is, you can die from it.
Yes.
It is possible.
But you can die
from being super
sad.
Like,
don't you already have to be, like, medically already, like, in bad... You basically have to be, like, on the verge of death in order for your will to live to, like, fully affect that?
I'm not sure. That is an excellent question. I don't remember.
Yeah. That's... Well, either way. Okay, coming up now is the shot I was talking about earlier, where I said that I don't think it looks super believable. Lava doesn't look super believable. I think I may have pointed this out to you once before. I know we were watching this like last year, and we were, because we do that. And I remember pointing this out to you, but I'm not sure if it's stuck. But anyway, we'll see it here in a second. I don't know. Looking at this, I really did think that like it looked like Sebastian Shaw, but.
No, I don't think that they did that. I don't think they did the reverse.
Yeah.
Get the medical kit. My hands can't. They don't work anymore. Force lightning. I'll tell you another time.
It's a long story. Okay, it's here where the
that was a great shot.
Camera is so panning, cool. Right? And the island is turning, but the lava is not turning. Like the ground is turning, but the lava isn't turning at the same speed.
The camera's panning. The
it's island a static shot. In. It, the background is a static shot, and they superimposed over,
and the camera
panned, and it's not moving uniformly.
I've never noticed that before. Now I thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
God.
Well, the good news is I actually showed you that once like a year ago, and you forgot, so maybe you'll forget again.
Oh, maybe I will, there you go. Actually.
And you'll still be able to enjoy.
Yay. Oh, they're floating in an asteroid field, like that time that Alderaan blew up.
Oh. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, I was going to say it's really not, but...
not really.
Yeah.
But sort of.
It's okay.
Actually, it reminded me more of when they... what's the space slug thing called that tries to eat the money in Pelican?
The space slug. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, never get a spaceship. Never. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, Robot Chicken. This whole scene, despite any grievances about these films, this whole Darth Vader birth...
No, Grievous is dead. Grievous is dead already.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. Didn't mean for that to happen, but I'm glad that it did. Didn't. Yep. Somebody get me an umbrella. I can't.
Seriously,
hold
my hands.
My hands. They can't hold umbrellas. Somebody put a cover on him. He already smells bad as it is, but now he's going to smell like wet burned guy. That's even worse.
I like your sassy Palpatine.
I know. Would be a lot more interesting if he was sassy like that.
No way, girlfriend.
No way. Snap, snap, snap. I have to say the snaps because my hands don't work. Took me 20 years to hold a cane. You think I can snap? Forget about it, girlfriend. Snap, snap, snap.
I'm dying. I am dying.
I like that it's the Empire symbol.
Oh my God, I never noticed that.
You never really?
I never noticed that.
Yay, these are the things that I notice. Yeah.
I never noticed. I always am looking at him so much that I never noticed that the background is the
Empire.
The Imperial
It's the Imperial symbol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Huh.
My friend's a tattoo artist, and he was on Star Wars Day, he was doing $40 Star Wars tattoos.
Oh.
Which is awesome. And he was doing you get the Imperial symbol. He's the stuff he designed, but you could also get just like the Imperial symbol
or the
Rebel symbol. And I was like, $40? Interesting. But then I don't really know if I want to put the Imperial symbol on me forever. That makes a very strong statement.
Yeah, it does.
About what side I have chosen. Yeah.
My favorite character is Obi-Wan, after all.
Yeah, it is. And he wasn't really fighting with the Rebel Alliance, so
I have one thing to say to that.
Mm-hmm.
Uba.
Uba. Uba. Uba. Hey, that's very calming for her, obviously. Uba.
It sounds a lot like something from, like, Wally.
Wally.
Uba.
Eva.
Uba.
Yeah.
Uba.
This is the moment.
Here it comes.
And it's here.
Dun, incoming.
Dun, dun. I like that you actually do get to see Vader vision.
For a second, yeah.
I think he's just like, crap. I'm not going to enjoy this. That looks so uncomfortable in there.
It does.
Yeah. It's like
why
poking
didn't I
and
stay
prodding.
A Jedi? I could have worn towels.
And leather vests. Well, at least I'm still wearing a leather vest.
They told me never trust a man in an uncomfortable towel.
That's cool. That's a great shot. This could be a mighty background. No, it's not. Tolkien, I should have named you after a Star Wars character.
Oh.
I thought about it. I couldn't decide on one, and I didn't want to name him George or Lucas. So
yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I know people named George and Lucas, and I'm going to be like, you named your cat after me?
Yeah.
No, didn't. I named him after the neck parasite that George Lucas has. Yeah.
Neck parasite.
He used to have a neck. Now he doesn't.
Now he just, yeah, it was... Gone. Destroyed by the Empire.
Well done.
Here it comes, here it comes, here it comes.
The original trailer had his hands up, you know, and captured that way.
As he's tilting up?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, you didn't know that? Yeah, he's up like...
Oh, sorry.
Like the I surrender position?
I misunderstood you. Yes, you're right. Yes.
What do you think? Do you prefer the down one or the up one?
I prefer the down one.
Yeah, I do too. Because the up one is a little like you're captured.
Yeah, this is more... You know, if you're going to go Frankenstein, go full Frankenstein.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
I agree.
That's what... See, this was misguided because I think the idea was... Okay.
It's cool to hear James Earl Jones say Padme, though. That's a nice ringing sense of continuity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Keep going.
Just, I wish we were listening to this right now.
I know. We can go back and just watch the scene when we're done recording.
But the idea here was to have it be, a throwback to, like, Frankenstein movies.
Yes, of course.
And it ended up being a little cheesier than he had hoped.
Yeah, well, I think the prequels are all a little bit cheesier than he
hoped. I think you're right. I think it's misguided. It's well intentioned, but misguided.
Yeah, I agree. And
do not
well, what are you gonna do? I think James Earl Jones read that in the script and he went, Jive suckers are paying me a lot of money.
Jive suckers.
That's really more Lando. You think he talks like that?
Yeah,
I was gonna Lando. Know. Hey, some Lando Calrissian. Yeah, but
so
look at all those buttons that don't do anything.
To go, yeah, I know, right?
Stickers.
To go back to what we were saying a couple minutes ago about Yoda,
mm-hmm.
It's here that I think he really decides, like, okay, I really need to, like, go away because I need to, like, he decides what his mission is going to be for the next.
I guess technically he's going into exile, but he is really going to, like you said, the Force. He's really going to...
Like meditate.
And become more focused with the Force because clearly they know they've erred. Like, mm-hmm. The Sith literally popped up right in front of them and they had no idea until it was too late.
It's like, we need to regroup.
They're kind of obvious, too.
Yeah. But as far as they know, they're the only two Jedi who are around.
Right.
So
there are a whole bunch more.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Because story.
But,
you know, as far as they know, they're the last two. So they're like, okay, we have to have a game plan. Like, it's up to us to save the galaxy now, the two of us. So, yeah. So Yoda's telling him, like, okay, you can communicate with Qui-Gon. I have my own thing I need to do.
Yeah, it's a true story. I will teach you how to communicate with him. But Master Yoda, didn't you see season 6 of Clone Wars?
Captain Antilles. Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah.
This is nice to see them all together and with Captain Antilles. Yes. And
it's like,
and that's how
3PO's mind was wiped, and that's why R2 remembers stuff that 3PO does. Yeah, and, it's all coming together.
Is it Thebes? Did I make that up?
No, you're right.
Yeah, Thebes. Yeah, Thebes. All right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did not make that
Naboo.
Up. Yeah, no, it's a gorgeous theme. We've talked about this before. I wish this little... the little wooden nugget thing was more present in the second film to make it more important that she's holding it with her right now.
I kind of like...
It's a lot of hair.
It is. I kind of like how understated it is, though, in a way. There is something about it that it's there if you know, if you're a fan.
I just wish that she had kind of worn it a little bit more, even if it didn't, you didn't have call attention to it, but you don't see it in number two. But she also didn't fall in love with him until really the end of that movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Never mind. I kind of retract my statement.
But she gets
this
it.
Was great. Oh. I just need to say that I loved this part of the movie so much. The guy that got to play Peter Cushing looks so much like Peter Cushing.
Well, he looks like him, but they also computer generated his face a little bit.
Yeah, but have you seen the actor, what he looks like?
Yeah, I think I have.
He looks quite – I mean, his cheekbones are clearly make-upped or whatever.
Yeah.
But, he looks quite a bit like a young Peter Cushing.
I agree.
I can't cross my arms any more than this because Darth Vader suit. Yeah.
It's okay. My hands don't work.
Yeah, it's okay. We are two peas in a pod, you and me. Yeah. Yeah. Good thing we look good in black. Yeah. Here come the men in black.
Oh, God.
That's a crossover that should never happen.
Never.
No.
Nope. No, thank
beautiful
you.
Little. Now, it's just this. I'm thinking that this is the palace. Not thinking that's a city. Because it's not very large. I'm thinking that's kind of the palace or government center.
Yeah, like the government building. Okay,
yeah, I don't think that's the whole city. It's too small.
I'll buy that. Yeah, and it looks like it's not really even a city. It's just like
It's on the edge of beautiness.
Yeah,
it's on the edge of Austria. That's what it is.
Kind
of. Yeah, or Norway, or you know, something mountainy like that.
Leia.
Yeah.
Okay, this gets me every time now.
This is cool.
When oh my god.
Yeah.
When Owen and Beru.
Yeah. Sunset. I do like this, but it's like, okay, I'm going to blend into your environment and help you look over him. I'm just going to wear my Jedi robes. Is that cool? Yeah. You guys all wear these here, right? Yeah, sweet deal.
Okay. Listen, it's really comfortable towels.
I don't know why I'm doing my Emperor voice for Obi-Wan, but...
It's okay. I left him a really comfortable blanket.
I'm going to just wear these robes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's so beautiful.
It is a gorgeous...
I hope to one day see a sunset as beautiful as this.
Well, you're going to have to look at two suns.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But don't look directly at them like they're doing.
Nope, because you will die. You have no vision.
But just
looks so young. Oh, music. My God. He's such a baby. And the music. Joel Egerton is such a baby.
Oh, my God.
It fills you with so much hope
for the next one.
Oh, my God. It's going to be a new hope. All right.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was great.
Yes. Excellent. Until next time. Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.